and WJFK.
Broadcasting live from the Don and Mike Building. Free FM, 106.7 WJFK. Manassas, Washington, D.C. This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And here's the pitch. It's going, going. And like America's credibility on the world stage, that ball is gone.
Fresh corn on the cob is irresistible, especially at Safeway's low prices. This week we got Washington grown, Canada number one corn on the cob. Valley priced at three cobs for 88 cents. Sorry about this. I didn't know it was... And goddamn Whitey produced f***ing commercials never come out the right way. Okay. Safeway's got everything. It's 88 cents for the corn and everything you need for a super summer barbecue. Charcoal, starter, napkins, and paper plates at Brockett Safeway.
And the way Hansel combs his hair?
Well, like, doesn't. It's like, excuse me, but have you ever heard of styling gel?
I'm sure Hansel's heard of styling gel. He's a male model.
Well, Earth to Prince. I was making a joke. Earth to Mikis.
Duh, okay.
I knew that. Earth to Prince. I'm not so sure you did, because you were all, well, I'm sure he's heard of styling gel. Like you didn't know it was a joke.
I knew it was a joke, Mikis. I just didn't get it right away.
You're f***ing disgrace.
Now we save time to do one more because a good friend of ours is here today. This guy, as you all know him now, you might think this is just a private thing happening up here in D.C., but let me tell you something. The Don and Mike Show is the biggest show around the whole United States. Wherever we go, we turn on a radio. There they are down in Orlando, up here in D.C. And we got the guy himself who actually played tambourine on Midnight Confessions in 1968. I'm telling you, Don Geronimo's here. He's going to come out and play it with us right now. Don, where are you? Hey, you going to play?
So nice to see you again, Rob, as we did back in 68. And with me...
Serving Middle Tennessee with 5,000 watts of sun power. This is WMAK Nashville.
A member of the ever-growing Mooney Broadcasting Corporation.
7:30 in the New Critic Capital City with your new Don on the radio. Heavy group out of Louisville. Rugby is, that's you and I. 29, group of five from the Super Summer Survey.
Super Summer, WMAK.
33. Tony Joe here to work his show.
Hanging on the air. This is WHTZ.
Government, all right, sit up. All of a sudden, Gilman wants to get into the mix here. No, I didn't see Big Pussy. Was the only one I didn't see. You see Big Pussy? Did you see Big Pussy?
I didn't see Big Pussy, no.
Well, then don't ask me if I saw him.
Just people.
Everywhere, Pee Wee Herman had a farm. E I E I O.
Not a word, not a note. What kind of person are you?
I'm sorry.
You need help. You're seriously f***ed up.
I got kids. I couldn't live without them.
It was the f***ing life you couldn't live without. The gambling, the money, who knows what else?
You're right. I don't want to drag you down into this pit on me.
Everybody else is stupid to you, aren't they?
No.
You could throw your weight around down here in Jersey. Everybody kisses your ass.
I miss you.
I don't want to know. I don't want to hear your voice. Don't ever call me again.
You stupid, I'm going to punch your eyes out. I'm going to burn the house down. I'm going to cut you up with a razor knife.
Then, evidence of roach contamination, mice excrement, fallen tiles.
Those are the things that scare us.
Fox 5's hidden cameras expose health violations in school cafeterias.
I was at a loss for words.
Couture Child School is serving up filth. On Fox 5 News.
What are you doing, you effing little bitch?
You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm enjoying your show very much in regard to the topic of circumcision. I was in Washington, D.C., and I heard an interview on the radio by a Dr. Robert Spiewak. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. He's in the forefront of the anti-circumcision movement, and I heard him on an interview on the Don and Mike show, and he contends that the actions against circumcision here in this country were started by men that were totally into ass play. And that simply because there are just a lot of men that like to stick this where...
Okay. Okay. You know anything about that?
I know nothing about that. Who? What was the name of this doctor?
It's Dr. Robert Spiewak.
And he says that he's against circumcision?
He's actually for circumcision because he states that later on in life, if you're not circumcised, many men develop health problems.
Well,
for example, penis cheese and things like this.
He's clearly uninformed, and to say that this is this springs forth from simply from the gay movement, who had the opportunity to see one penis after another and began to see the extensive scars.
He actually has a pretty informative newsletter that I get by email. I think it comes out once a month. It's entitled "Leave My Penis Alone."
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that caller. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Hey.
Boy, am I in love.
Look, it's Mike. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Mike.
He's alive. He's alive.
Oh, boy, am I ready for you today, friend.
No. Glad to be here.
Hold on, wrong one. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, Mike, here's your favorite part. Monitor me.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, 1 and 5 out in Colorado. West Coast, noon till 4.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
Hello.
Hi, Julia. Bang a gong. Get it on. It's crap, right?
You know what? This is crap.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, hello.
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 That was okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hello.
Enough of the hello. Wait a second. Bang it on.
Bang the gong.
He's mentally retarded.
How's your clicker?
How's your pool cue?
Mr. and Mrs. Barbaro and all the ships at sea.
Oh, you bastard.
You don't even feel sorry for the animals.
Mike, you know what? I'll wait because we want to talk about other things.
Yes, yes.
Did he call you?
No, he didn't call me. This is not anything that's scripted between the two of us. We've not had a discussion.
Right. So I meant, did he call you when the horse he got hurt?
No, he did not.
No, before that I did.
Just make sure I was watching in the pretty colors. I was watching. It was in high definition.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm watching the news today, the Today Show.
Yeah. Third story.
Okay, I understand. Big story.
Sure.
Horse breaks its leg.
Right.
Katie Couric's talking to the vet like the animal's a person.
Yeah, well, it's that story, Don.
How's he feeling? Well, he seems to be in good spirits. Do you think he'll have a happy, productive life? Well, we certainly hope so, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. You know, what the plan really is to make his leg well enough so he can stand on all four.
Right.
Because if they can't do that, if horses can't do that, they die.
Right.
And have him get a nice big whoop.
People can make money. Right.
If I'm the vet...
So the rich people can make money.
You know what I say? If I'm the vet,
yes,
I say, what's the horse's name now?
Barbaro.
The horsey Barbaro?
Uh-huh.
I say, I'm going to take you up to the Poconos. I get you a big, nice horse bed.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to put you right on your back. Don't worry about your leg. You know the only thing you got to do? Keep it up.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is you want the horse to actually do it in your favorite position.
Well, and also it would be the only position that the dog would be able to. It would lower the other horses onto him.
Yeah. I don't think horses can do it that way.
Much like when we talked about how Tom and Roseanne, remember we said that Roseanne would have to be lowered down onto Tom Arnold or vice versa.
Facing in the other direction.
So you favor B.O.B. Barbaro on bottom.
Well, I just think it's funny.
I saw a reality show one time where they actually were able to help, manually help the horse.
Sure. I think I rented that.
It was great.
I think it was on the porno channel.
It was like a Gastineau's daughter.
It was also hosted by NBC's Tom Hammond.
Let's just remember, I mean, everybody feels bad for the animal.
Right.
And it's a bad break.
So to speak.
But you know what it is? Yeah. It's a step above being someone's steak.
Right.
Thank you.
That's and true. In many cases, it could even be a steak.
Well, I didn't want to...
Look around, Cafe.
I didn't know you were looking for a plug this early in the show.
You have to cut costs when you have to cut costs.
That's right. I think I ate horse in France.
You really?
Yeah, it tasted horrible.
But a great sauce.
It was delicious. A wonderful horse sauce. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Barbaro and all the ships at sea. See if you can guess where they have their pool cue. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob. Don and Mike Show. New episode, everybody, this Monday.
Buzz B. 0522 on 6.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
Ran out of tunage.
Yeah.
Oh, because of the horse. The horsey.
Of course.
The horsey.
Barbaro.
The horse. Oh, so sad. Everybody's so sad, huh? Yeah, it's a horse.
Yeah.
You know who's really sad?
Of course.
You know who's really sad? All the suckers that bought tickets for that horse.
Well, those suckers were betting on the favorite anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, so they deserve to lose?
Sure. It was an easy pick. Barbaro was an easy pick.
Ah.
But I'm so crushed that we're not going to see a Triple Crown winner again. Not since 1978, Don.
Maybe next year, Mike.
Watching the split screen.
I didn't see the race, so I didn't see the whole.
And the dynamic.
Was there really a pall that was cast over the entire Pimlico racetrack?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I was watching. I only saw the replay too. Yeah. I wasn't watching it live. I don't know. Here is TV expert Rob Speedwagon.
Oh, good.
I heard on the post game that no one in the infield puked for almost 40 seconds.
Okay, thank you, Rob. Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye now.
I had a Preakness party one time after the Preakness. Was the biggest, stupidest thing. Half the people coming to my party had gone to the Preakness, so they all showed up with, like, jester hats vomiting. It's like the worst party I ever had.
Before we discuss horses.
Barbaro.
Horses that run and break their legs.
Barbaro.
And I've got some weekend stuff to get to. I know we have Mike's health, which is the paramount reason that we're going to start the show.
It ain't nothing but a thing.
Talking about Mike and...
It ain't nothing to worry about.
But as I said, you know, we weren't here on Friday.
Right.
Because at Mike's request, we weren't here. He was... Well, he'll tell you. He wasn't feeling good. Didn't feel right. Didn't want to come in and do the show.
Requested that today. They denied my request today, unfortunately.
We missed the chance to tie up the loose end with Lisa, the homeless lady who Buzz thinks is a bitch and the C word.
Did you ever get Gary Shandling on the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was good. Yeah, and you know what? She's a bunt. I just figured out.
Hey, that's a good combination of the word.
Combination.
I've never heard that before. That's brilliant.
Now, with boy, I'm trying to think how you'd work.
You can have a bunt cake.
Big?
No, I'm combining
and the other word.
Oh, a bunt.
Right. A bunt.
Right. A bunt.
Buzz thinks that woman is not only a bitch.
Well, I know that was Buzz's theory. I mean, so much. Yeah. I've missed so much, and I missed 2 hours on Thursday.
Nothing else happened on Thursday, except we did not hear from her after the show Thursday.
Yeah.
We did not hear from her Friday.
No.
Even though we knew that we weren't doing a show, we tried to contact her. We have not.
Now that would hold with Buzz's theory then.
Mm-hmm. We've not been able to get a hold of her, so Lisa the homeless lady, if you're out there listening, call in. It's desperate. We want to tie up this loose end.
I think Buzz probably offended her.
Well, now Rob tells me that when she did not know that there would not be a show Friday, because what happened is, and Mike will tell you here,
right.
He left, he wasn't feeling well, he left and went to the hospital, and hey, how about all of us? Let's just stop for a second and think about this.
Yeah.
I know it happened very quickly. We got done with the break, and Mike said to me, God, I feel like I can hardly breathe. I got to go to the hospital. I said, okay, bye. Everybody else just started doing what we had to do to do the show.
Doing the show.
Thinking about Mike, but no one thinking, hold on a second. He's had what may be a heart attack, could be just about anything. Guy feels so awful, he's got to go to the hospital. And we let him just get in his car.
By himself.
Well, that was partially my fault.
By Mike.
That was partially my fault. I ran out of here.
Yeah, you did.
Mm. I didn't realize that it was stupid for me to get into the car until the second wave kind of hit me on the way, and I should say on the way to wherever, because I had no idea where I was going.
You're right. Hold friends on. Don't let friends drive dizzy.
But before Mike cut out at about 5:15.
You would have been the one I wanted to drive.
There you go. I would have helped.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks. You know what? Yes. You would have been sitting there, your heart pounding like 1,000 beats a minute, and you know, old lady would have gone, you know, oop. Yellow means slow. You know what I would...
You know what? You would have gotten me there under any circumstances. You would have gone up on the sidewalk. You're right, aren't you?
The quickest. Yeah. I would have pulled a Batmobile move for you. A Bat move. But anyway...
When she left on Thursday, which was like in the 4 o'clock hour, I think...
Right.
She was to come back and spend one more night through our care in your office.
Right.
And we never heard from her.
No, we didn't. So
through our care.
That's right. We're looking
at... You make it sound like a hospital.
It does.
So we really need this homeless lady, Lisa, to contact us. We have tried her cell.
I wanted to refute what Buzz had.
Yes, and please. All we get is what, voicemail?
It goes direct to automatic answer. And, you know, it could be that she was battling a limited number of minutes when we spoke recently.
Well, she should, if she's out there or any of these friends from her MySpace or whatever it is, loser account that she's friends with, they should contact her and say... She should call in. Otherwise, the only taste that we'll have in our mouth will be of a nice bundt cake.
That's
and
right.
All credit will have to go to Buzz.
Any word from Joshua Tree on this woman at all?
Oh, yeah, he's standing by, ready to discuss.
Okay. He's not heard from her either.
But her sleeping bag is still here.
No.
We will talk to Joshua Tree.
Tasty.
So I know a lot of us were thinking maybe that behind the scenes there might be some planting of the fertile seed. On, you know, Thursday, maybe there'd be an outside shot to crazy kids trapped in an office together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bottle of cheap wine.
Little baby on the way.
Right. But no.
Little baby Joshua Tree.
But no such luck. So, Lisa, if you're out there, call. We got an APB on you.
Good. Okay?
Now, let's talk about Mike.
Yeah.
Michael.
Man, am I nervous.
Michael.
I am more nervous coming into this show to do this show than I've ever been in the 20 years we've worked together. And it didn't help that everybody, meaning well, has said to me when I came in today, are you okay? Are you okay?
Not me.
Are you okay? You didn't do it.
No.
You didn't do it. I don't think
I saw others do it.
And I don't think anybody that was close to me on the show did.
I just screamed, you're alive.
Kevin, the manic, pimply-faced Kevin, who was here, was, I apologize, Kevin, because really, I probably shouldn't have said to you what I said to you, but Kevin said, In the most concerned tone of all, said, are you okay? I said, if one more person says that to me, I think I'm going to drop him. And I realized that was a little harsh, and he felt bad, and then I shook his clammy hand, and everything was fine after that. But I know that, you know, that everybody was a little concerned.
Oh, God.
So here's... I was concerned. I was scared out of my mind.
Let me bring you up.
I'm still scared out of my mind.
Okay. we bring everybody up to where we were in the show.
Thanks, because you're going to need to help me with
and from my perspective, what happened, and Mike's got to take over.
Yeah. There are occasional times on this show where I will do the 10-minute monologue, but that's your territory, and I would really rather do the Socratic method, which is what I often talk about on the show.
Great.
Because, Don, you and I do the Socratic method on this show. I basically want to take little small clumps of what happened to me and have you weave them together in a proper way. Because
I'd be
really,
glad to help.
There are chunks of time that I'm kind of zeroed in on, and there are other chunks of time I'm not really zeroed in on.
And just out of curiosity, what is this, Marcus Welby?
General Hospital.
Oh, General Hospital. Okay. All right. I get medical jokes. I knew it was something like that. I'm going to turn it off now.
It's lovely.
Okay. So, we're doing the show.
It's about 5 o'clock.
About 5 o'clock, and we're doing the Larry thing with the woman. I don't even know what it was. We're having a good time with it.
And then we had the pad because we were waiting for Gary Shambling to show up, and we were doing Larry King and then making a segue, and he was not calling when he was supposed to call.
And there was a very awkward moment because Rob was getting his balls busted by me. Like, come on, where is Gary Shambling?
Right.
And Buzz was doing what Buzz normally does, sits back and kind of waits for something to happen.
Right. And towards the end, when we're doing Larry King, my head was starting to feel heavy.
Huh.
So I was starting to feel dizzy, and then I was starting to feel like a shortness of breath, and I was really starting to freak out. And we were doing what we do quite often without any problem at all, which is pad,
right,
where we're padding. And at this point, I'm not communicating to Don that I want him to end the break at all, but I'm just saying to myself, hang on. You don't want the lights to go out while you're on the air. You don't want to pass out during the show. And that is all that I
would
was
thinking
about.
Would have been good about. Radio, my friend.
Yeah, it would have been great radio. That was all that I was thinking. And really, if you want the more sinister feeling, it was not that I didn't want to pass out during the show. I wanted, if that was the moment, I didn't want that to happen during the show. I really didn't want that to happen.
Of course not.
And so I was... And for whatever reason, Gary Shambling wasn't calling,
see,
so we were going on and on and on.
So I had no idea. And we're padding, and finally, it's like, Rob is just sitting back in the corner like an animal licking his wounds, looking at his cell phone like, please ring and be Gary Shambling. Buzz is waiting for something to happen, and normally that's where Mike will help me out, and Mike was just standing there. I didn't know Mike didn't feel good.
No. Well, if you'd noticed that I was wearing a back brace because I got my old bad back that I always have. And so I took that off. I ripped that off. Then I changed to an upright sitting position. Then I changed to a sitting position. And I'm changing all these different seating positions to try to, you know, get my head to start feeling better, and it just nothing was happening.
I couldn't tell. There was one moment when I finally, nobody was saying anything. It's like, and I said, am I the only one trying?
Uh-huh.
You know, because Rob was doing his thing, Buzz was waiting.
Right.
And I realized at that time, I looked at you, and really, you looked pale.
Yeah.
And then I said, something like, what are we going to do?
Am you made that statement, then I said something.
You said,
trying to be funny to help you out, which I didn't, wasn't really significant.
We went right to break.
Right.
And then here's what I remember.
I didn't give you 5 seconds.
And you fill us in. We go to break. Mike said, you said to me, I feel awful. I think I might have just had a heart attack. I think I'm okay, but I feel awful. I can't breathe. I got to go to the hospital now. Bye. I'm sorry. Bye. That was it, and you were out the door.
Gone. Went out the door, went down into my car, realized that I still felt that way when I got into the car. I called Carla, and I get out, and as soon as I get into the car, you know, I feel kind of disoriented, and I don't know where I'm going. So I hop into the car, and I ended up on Main Street. And the only way I know where I'm going is I'm looking for a hospital sign.
Right? It's a good thing you're surrounded by so many loving, caring friends. I mean...
Nobody
think about this.
Yeah, but I got out of here too quickly.
We didn't even know.
Yeah, I was freaked out. I just didn't know what to do. I had no idea what to do. I was terrified. I was really terrified. I called Carla. I said, I'm having trouble. I'm feeling dizzy. I think I'm going to pass out. She said, are you driving? I said, yes, I am driving.
Yeah.
She said, do you know where you're going? I said, I think so, but I'm not really sure.
Right.
And the only way I got to any place where I should have gone.
Mahogany.
That's right.
Do you know where you're going to?
The only way that I got to where I was going was because I looked at a sign that had the blue hospital sign.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I'm in that wonderful Fairfax traffic, which was just nonstop, and traffic was going nowhere. And I'm sitting there just going, oh, gosh. oh, boy, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I just, I have no idea what to do. And I just pointed the car in the right direction and finally got close to where I see, I remember that there was this, I guess they call them satellite urgent care facilities.
Right, sure.
And traffic was stopped, was just stopped. It was insane. It was crazy. And I ended up going over the median and coming against traffic because I was 100 yards from this emergency care center. Mm-hmm. And that was the only thing I could think to do because I said, I'm not going to sit here five more minutes in traffic. You know where you're going to. So. Oh, I was so nervous about doing this show to talk about this today.
No.
I already need a cold cloth.
Now, hold on a second. Let's, before,
give me my tranquilizers.
Here's what.
Do you know what you're going to? Do you like the thing that
describe, please to be describing.
See, that's why I asked for the Socratic method.
Please to be describing. And I'm trying to do it like Mike Wallace last
night. Yes, Mike.
Because you don't have the
clip. Are you going to say, come on, like
come
Mike
on.
Wallace did?
Come on. And what's the other thing that is...
You know why I'm not doing that good a job of describing this? Because I'm still freaked out by it.
Well,
I am completely and totally freaked out by Friday. I realized... You know when I realized that? I realized that about midday yesterday. I started thinking about coming back in here, and I start... And because this is where it started, this is where, you know, and I know what it is. And let me first say, I was checked out physically. Everything is fine. Sure. Everything is cool. It's really embarrassing to say what the doctors concluded that it is. And
It's Joe Artinger.
You can't work with
and
him
working with Joe Artinger.
Joe.
Well, Joe's experienced the same issues.
Yes,
you know,
I know.
But
and a good time.
Joe's taking his medicine for it. So it's,
now, hold on
it's
a
very
second.
Frustrating.
Here's the question I would have, because really, after you left when you called during a break, and told Rob you were at the hospital.
I was in the hospital bed when I talked to Rob.
Okay. We all thought that, not you were checking out,
right,
but thought that you were going to have a heart attack or that you were having one because that's what you had said to me.
Yeah, so did I.
What were the symptoms that you were feeling that,
number one symptom,
that made you think that?
The number one symptom during the show was that I thought I was going to pass out. I thought actually that the lights were going to go out.
Lightheaded.
Number two was I couldn't get a good breath. That lasted till about 8 o'clock at night.
Ooh.
Where I was actually trying to get the good breath. And the nurses in the ER over here at the Fairfax Satellite ER Chamber in Girode, they were fantastic. And they kept coming by and I was on this monitor. And they kept saying to me, breathe. Breathe, breathe, which apparently is an issue for me in my regular life, that I have to take deep breaths like this. I always like to not have people hear me breathe on the
course,
show because I don't want to sound like a smoker.
Right.
So I actually now have to make an effort to take deep breaths more often. That's a self-diagnosis. But the symptoms were, plain and simple, I thought the lights were going to go out. I thought I was going to pass out. I was going to lose consciousness. And because I've had that kind of lightheaded feeling with the pollen, I've had that before,
right?
But this was one where it actually kept going, and I couldn't get it back. And it was, and I looked at you, and I finally said something. I don't even remember what I said, but it was, Don, I'm really feeling like I'm going to pass out. I think I'm having a heart. I gotta go. And I was in that car. I was in my car inside of 5 minutes. I don't think anybody besides you and Rob even knew that I was leaving because I flew to my car. I actually got to my car quickly.
No, I didn't know.
When I got in my car, and the thing that was killing me is I have this. I'm on the phone with Carl, and she's saying, you shouldn't be driving.
Right.
I say, well, I know I shouldn't be driving, but I am driving, and I want to get to this place. And I'm leaned over to the side in my car because I'm trying to position my body in such a way that I'm not going to feel this lightheadedness. And I'm trying to also, like, expand my chest. I'm trying to do all this stuff. And I can see the red sign that says emergency.
Okay.
And there is a median.
You got to make a left-hand turn, right?
You have to make a left-hand turn. You know the one
driving.
I'm talking about.
Sure.
And you have to make a left-hand turn over the median. And traffic is stopped to such an extent where I can see up ahead that we go through two light cycles, which means traffic is so thick that it's not going to move. It's not going anywhere.
And it's bumper to bumper on a good-looking Friday or Thursday, whatever the day was.
It was 5 o'clock. It was right in the middle of it. And I make a decision at this point. I said, okay, is this going to be – I see an ambulance pull out of this ER. And I have two decisions in my somewhat confused state. I'm going to get out of my car – and wave to the ambulance, which to me would be absolute idiocy. Or
taxi.
Or I'm going to do, you know, not only is traffic not going in the direction, it's not coming the other way. Something's going on up there. There's no traffic coming at me. There's no traffic coming, and I would estimate, I'm going to say conservatively, I'm 70 to 80 yards away from the driveway of this place where I can walk in and at least tell somebody what's going on. And this is causing me more anxiety than I've had before. So I make an editorial decision at this point. I said, you know what? God, that's why I have a big... I'm so glad I didn't get that hybrid done, because I have a big, oversized SUV,
right?
And I go... And this is a big median, too. And I go over this thing, and I go, ka-ching, ka-ching. And I look to my right, and this lady is looking at me like, oh, my God, what are you doing?
Crazy, man.
And I see no cars coming until I just get moving forward. And then I don't see any cars coming because there's a Metro bus coming. And there is a Metro bus coming at, and anybody that's ever dealt with a Metro bus, they only go really, really fast when you don't want them to.
Right.
And, of course, this guy was going super fast. So I absolutely punch it. I practically went into the parking lot of this ER on two wheels. And at that point, I don't think it was as close as I thought it was, but I see this thing coming like that, and I take a left, and I'm just fine. I don't know what's wrong. I'm still feeling the same way. As soon as I get to the ER, I don't even park in the parking lot, and I don't park in the little overhang where they bring the ambulance.
Where'd you leave your car?
There's another entrance to the ER. It's his emergency, and I parked it right there, right in front of the doors, put it in park, took my keys, walked in, and as soon as I walk in, I get the lady, and she turned out to be very sweet. But the first reaction was, you know, I'm not bleeding from any major orifice, so all this is, like, internal,
right,
and it's inside of me. And I look at her, and I say, I have the presence of mind to say to the lady, excuse me. Yes, I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I think I may be having a heart attack. And she's like, all right, sign your name here. And I was immediately kind of amazed that she's probably heard this before.
Yeah.
I'm not first one, and I think if you're under your own power and you're walking in there. So I sign, and I sign my name, and then I'm just, I don't know whether to stand or sit, because the feeling is still there. So I sit down. As soon as my butt touched the seat, they take me back, and they did the little evaluation. They checked my blood pressure, which was extraordinarily high. That could have been a variety of things. That could be because of the circumstances. Who knows? But she then... I'm starting at this moment to calm down because I'm there and I realize I've got the care and I'm not in traffic anymore and I'm not on the show anymore and everything is seems to be okay, but I'm still doing a lot of this. I'm doing these moves where I'm going like that. And they're checking me. She then comes to me and she said, okay, do you feel like you could at least go out to the front and register? And I said, yeah, I think I can do that. I think, you know, as long as you think it's okay, that's half of my concern. So I go out and I register, and I see there are like 5 to 8 people. And I'm like, at that moment, I sit down and I go, do you think I was being too much? Yeah, like that. But yeah, I can do it, when I really felt the same heavy-headedness coming out. It came in like 3 different waves. The first one was right here in the studio. The second one was down... right next to the World Mart, you know, where the Subway is, past the McDonald's.
Yeah. Right.
That was the worst one of all, because that's the one where I really said, you know, I don't know. I was thinking of what parking lot.
That's when you're behind the wheel, right?
That's when I'm behind the wheel. And Carl is saying, you know, what are you doing behind the wheel? And I, you know, they say when you're in a situation like that, that you have a moment of disorientation. I was disoriented because I didn't process where I was going.
Right.
I knew that there was something around here where you could go and get taken care of.
Right.
Look, you don't think when you're in that situation, hey, John Norman or Joe, John Norman, could you give me a ride to this place? I didn't know what the hell was going on.
You know where you're going to.
So they immediately, all I had to do was just hand out my insurance card. That's always very important. Always bring that with you.
Good to have those.
And
they didn't laugh immediately?
They
always do.
They no, actually, she looked at it and she said, I'm sorry, your money is not good here. There's the door right over there. And I get, immediately after that, I handed the card. I didn't go to the waiting area. They said, okay, you can come back now. And it's at that point that they began to poke and prod. They gave me an IV. They gave me they gave me oxygen, and the whole time...
Did they get your temperature rectally?
The whole time, no. I asked for that, specifically, too. I asked for that. As a matter of fact, I asked for a pool cue, and they weren't. They didn't want to deliver that. They checked me out. The nurses that could not have been nicer kept coming by, and at one point, this one nurse comes out of the little staging area over there, and she goes... She takes a big, deep breath, and I thought she had just started her shift because I was there right at 7 o'clock when they, I guess they switch over. And she takes this she takes a big, deep breath, and she goes, breathe. And I'm like, and I say to her, I say, yeah, man, tough to work on a Friday, right? She says, no, you, breathe.
Right.
Because she's looking at whatever my little thing was that was saying, I don't know why they kept telling me to breathe, but they did give me that instruction.
I don't know why either, Liddy.
Four or five times.
Remember to breathe.
And I just
one of our oldest jokes.
Breathe, Gordon.
The old program director, Cameron, when he was the producer of the Liddy Show, he would have to hold up notes for feeble G. Gordon Liddy, like, you know, remember to say phone number, and, you know, your name is Gordon, you are doing a radio show. We used to joke that he would actually hold up a sign that said, breathe now.
Breathe, Gordon, so you know to breathe.
Breathe now. So she was giving you the Liddy advice.
So they took the blood work, they did the EKG, everything checked out, everything appeared to be normal. And I'm like, during this whole process, I say, well, you know, Jesus, why did I have that happen? And then that's when, at the very end of the evening, the doctor that came up to me, and are you ready? You're not going to believe this. Because right. I knew that I was in good hands. I knew that there was nothing that could possibly happen to me under this doctor's care when you hear this doctor's name. Dr. Yastrzemski.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. I am not kidding. And they said, hello. He comes up to me, and I...
So he's
that's
a
what
fag.
I thought. No, that's...
he's a fag.
No,
just
seriously,
like the other, yes.
For a brief moment when I heard that, I thought that maybe I'd missed something, and that I had actually checked out. And I said, hello, I'm Dr. Yastrzemski. I said, oh, that's wonderful. This is Dr. Ramirez and Dr. Ortiz. They're right over here. Dr. Schilling will be seeing you later. And he said, okay, well, listen, what I want you to do is first thing in the morning, I want you to call your cardio person and give them a call. But I've prescribed something for you, and I've got your little printout. This is pretty much pointing to an anxiety-based disorder.
Mm.
Now, here's the deal. We're doing the show. We're waiting for Gary Shandling, but we are not in a particularly stressful uptight situation on the show that I was aware of.
You seemed light and chipper that day.
I was light and chipper, and that's why when it came out of nowhere. Now, when I was in the car, when I got rolling in, you know, on Main Street, and I was right. there, I believe that was causing anxiety itself
sure.
to feel that way. And when I got there, the blood pressure was off the charts. But you know, the bottom line is, it was that they gave me a little something when I left. They gave me two tiny little pills, and they said, when you get home, you might want to take these. So I got home. I was feeling better. I was feeling better than I had been checked out, but I still had, you know, kind of a tight feeling and a little tough getting the breaths and stuff. And it was lingering. It lingered well into Saturday, actually, that I was, when I, you know, first started feeling a little bit better. And it was good all the way up until I got here today. So it was something that they gave me, what's called, I think it's Ativan,
yeah.
which is a tranquilizer.
Right.
And I took the...
That's what they're giving to that horse, incidentally, with the bum leg.
That's right.
The
Ativan.
Barbaro?
Yeah.
Poor horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. That poor future piece of meat.
You know, when you've seen your life flash before you're done, you think differently about
it.
You
can relate
things.
To that horse.
You know, up there, you're going to get up there, and that horse is going to be looking right at you. It's going to be staring at you and saying, just a little sensitivity for my broken hoof.
Hey, Ma, it's a hoof.
Okay, so I get there, and they gave me this tranquilizer, which I did not take today.
Now,
yeah.
Hold on. What's your long-term prognosis?
Well, my long-term prognosis is, I don't know.
Have you been to see another doctor?
No.
Why?
Because I've got an appointment with the cardio person to check out my ticker.
But, okay, so...
And that's a specialist, okay? I mean, could I get in today? Don't I wish? No, I can't.
No, okay.
I think she's available maybe July of 2020.
Oh, that's handy.
Well, gosh. then maybe you should find another doctor.
No, this is a...
What about a head doctor?
No, this is the... Well, I've thought about that.
Well, no. If which, hold on. Which do you think in your heart it was? No pun intended
right
there. In your heart. It's only Monday. There's no off switch, folks.
Right.
In your heart, what do you think? Don't look at me like that. What do you think it was? Do you think it was really a panic attack, or do you think that maybe you were having some type of mild...
No, I mean, I was checked out thoroughly, and I have been, you know, I've been to a cardiologist before, and they did everything. They did all the work
okay
that would tell you that.
Then,
so frankly, I agree with their diagnosis, which was this can be brought on by an anxiety attack. This was anxiety. I don't know whether one would call it a panic attack, because a panic attack has different
right
kind of symptoms, but this was an anxiety-based reaction.
Then
where
you got to find yourself like a Dr. Melfi.
But here are the factors that contribute to this, and I read up on this. This can be brought on by a physical ailment. Now, all you guys know that all week, this back thing has, you know, been something where,
yeah,
you know, I've been, you know, I can't sit in here and get really comfortable. It's something that, and that can bring on the type of symptoms I had. So I can only go with what they printed out on the little sheet that said that. And as far as getting a second opinion or going to see somebody, yeah, I think I will do that. And the first thing I'm going to do is go to the cardiologist, which is I got the earliest appointment that I could get. There are no other people that I can see right now that I'm going to go step by step by step. If the cardiologist says, yeah, I think this was an anxiety-based thing, you ought to see somebody, and maybe they can maybe help you with that. You know, the more I think about it, this could be, you know, something that is an anxiety-based disorder. Or it could be, you know, if the cardiologist says, we want to take a look at this element of things, but they really have done that, and they ran all the tests. And so, I mean, you're only as good as what your doctors say. And now I know it's going to happen, because we're going to get the death sayers. They're going to be calling and saying...
No, okay, let me just... Okay, then I'll be the devil's advocate, and I'll tell you so we...
No, you're not supposed to do that. I'm under a great deal of stress.
So you don't have to take those calls.
Doctor's orders.
So you don't have to take those calls.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you've lost weight, you are overweight, you do drink, You don't exercise.
I do exercise,
but not as much. I mean, come on. I mean, really?
Yeah, but the exercise is not part of my weight loss. But over the weekend, yeah.
I'm talking about for stress reduction.
Okay.
I'm talking about anybody will tell you, and so you get past all of that, then you say, Mike, how do you know it's a panic attack? You haven't been to a doctor, to a real doctor. You went to an emergency. This is what I would say to you.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, we've not discussed it. It's crystallized. You went to an ER, and no offense to them,
right,
but they're like working on the fly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't take, and I've been to the ER, no offense to them, I never take their opinion. It's mm-hmm like they process people like McDonald's in there. If I had gone to an ER and thought I had a heart attack.
Oh, this is stressing me out.
Hold on.
Jesus.
If I had thought I had a heart attack
really
and went to an
actually,
emergency
room. Actually, this is actually calming me down.
Went to an emergency room, and on Friday night they let me go, and then I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, well, I'm just going to go on because I got a piece of paper from a guy at the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, how come
would
you're not...
You go, would you go to a general practitioner who you knew was not going to give you any information that was new, or would you want to go to a cardiologist?
Or are you just... I'd say this is your friend. Are you afraid of what you might find out?
No.
My God,
I've been to a cardiologist three different times.
You are afraid about the situation, right? About the way you felt? You were scared about that?
I was, when we were in the office and everybody was talking to me and everybody was coming up,
yeah,
I got a little bit of it again there too. I really did, I'll be honest with you. Because it was everybody just going, you know, President Hughes, who comes up, ready to get back to it? You know, it comes in with that, and it was just kind of weird, and then three people were all saying the same thing. And I had anxiety about coming in and telling the story.
Right.
But more than I've ever, a million worse things have happened to me, really, in my life, that I've come in here and I've relished it. I'm calm now. Before the show, when I came in here, I was freaking out. I didn't tell you guys that because I didn't want to freak out, because I didn't want to tell this. So to answer your question, am I worried about this? Am I a little freaked out about this? Yes. Second part of that, do I think I know what it is? Yeah. And because I know what it is, it doesn't freak me out that much. Because I really do believe that this is probably an anxiety-based deal.
As your friend, I would say to you, where's your medical degree?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you're telling me is, and I say this as your friend, I'm not busting your chops. You could turn it on me anytime you want to. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I'm not trying to be the adversarial. You think you agree with what one guy at an emergency room said. You think you're okay.
Based on the fact that... Can I answer your question?
You had the feeling today.
Can I answer your question?
Am I the problem?
Can I answer you the question? Seriously?
am I the problem?
Well, no, but you're being a little bit unfair to me here, and I want to answer the question.
I'm not trying to be unfair.
You asked me, you know, I'm not a doctor. I have had, on a regular basis, my ticker checked out. I've had it, you know, checked out. I also have... My information went from the ER doctor to this doctor who was briefed on the situation, and I asked the person, I didn't speak with the doctor directly, but made the appointment. She said, well, she doesn't think it's anything that you need to get in, but she would like to see you.
Okay.
Anyway, now, the other answer to that question is, so from that standpoint, I do agree, based on circumstances and the way I felt, that this is part of it. Do I think that that might require some more medical care on my part as far as the way I handle this? Yeah.
Right now,
sitting there with four Ativan in a box.
Okay.
And, you know, that's it. And I plan to do more than that.
Then you clarified that. Thank you. I only asked because I don't want to come in and do the show by myself. I don't want you checking out. I've already been through that with one person, so I'm just being blunt with you about this.
Also open-minded. I take anybody's advice as far as how anybody else would handle this. I think I've done everything that I was supposed to do.
Even if you... So I go with you. You're going to see your cardiologist. You're sure it's not your ticker.
Somewhere in June.
Okay, but you're sure it's not your ticker, and you believe that it's a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to you on Friday, on Thursday. Disabled you from work on Friday. You had to take it easy over the weekend. You had another panic attack, a mini one, or you got the feeling before the show today.
Right.
Why wouldn't you see a doctor to address that problem? And I don't know if I'm talking about a general practitioner, if I'm talking about a Dr. Melfi type. I guess
the
answer to that question,
because one person I know that I would talk to about this, I don't, and this is, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus here. I don't want to slam, you know, my primary care physician, but my primary care physician is, you know, I've got a bad cold or I got a scratchy throat. I go to him for that. I wouldn't feel confident dealing with him for this.
If
I had a GP who I could go to, you know, right now, the cardiologist who is probably more familiar with these type of situations is, you know, who I've chosen to see. If I, you know, continue to, you know, feel like I should go to somebody, I would do it. Right now, I think I'm doing the right thing. Right now, I'm pretty confident that I've gotten the right kind of medical care.
But here's the, I know, well, hello, since Frida died, again, I take Xanax.
Yeah.
I take a Xanax when I feel anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I found out you can't just go to the doctor, a GP, and say,
I need Xanax.
Yeah, you know what he says? I'd love to give it to you, but first you got to go see a head doctor who then will call me and tell me, yes, that you're anxious so that I can prescribe it. I mean, that's kind of, if you do have a problem with stress or anxiety, at least that's how...
Your GP is supposed to quarterback for all the other doctors.
Because
he's supposed to coordinate all the doctors.
My worry with you is, I swear to Christ, on Frida's life, I'm being honest with you, you got like four of those pills left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What if you don't see a doctor and you take them, and if it's this week or next week or whatever, and then you have a panic attack and you don't have, not that the pill is the answer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, that's my concern.
Well, yeah, that's a valid concern, and I'll take it to heart, and I'll try to, you know,
I mean,
maybe make a few phone calls and try to figure it out, you know, what I'm going
to
do.
I'm trying to be supportive. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't want to pull back the curtain at all, but I will and say that, you know what, you know, you, as far as I'm concerned, what you needed to do for me on Thursday night and Friday was, you know, was absolutely the perfect thing. If anybody calmed my ass down, I mean, you did. You really did. I was very, very, Don and I had a long talk. I'm not going to go into the details of that long talk, but the fact is, you know, you mentioned when you've been talking about what you've dealt with that, you know, you're kind of a new person. And I don't think that 5-10 years ago, we have that conversation. I don't think that happens. I don't think that happens by a long shot. So when you say that to me, I mean, I know you say it out of genuine concern. Know this, that I'm also, you know, reacting to something that's really brand new to me, that I've really, I have been, when I've gone through, you know, separations and difficulty in relationships, I was, you know, that's when I headed down that road of take this. You know that because of that, it's a very, very tough thing for me to think, you know, take a pill and you'll do it.
I'm not advocating that's the answer.
And I don't know whether that's the answer either. Do I think that maybe it would be a good idea to see somebody? Yeah. Do I think that that person is my particular guy? No, I'd be welcome, you know, and I'll pick both of your brains because I know you know lots of people that do that. You know.
I have a few names I could.
You know, seriously, it might be time for me to do that because of, you know, it's all about feeling confidence in that particular area, and you know, and I just didn't. When I was asked to give a name of a physician, I went right to this cardiologist.
Right.
This is the person who has treated me for this. It was not the other person, and because specialists. You know, well, the first availability is that, and because it was not, and it wasn't. I have to be honest with you.
Okay, I got you.
You can't file this under
heart attack. I got you.
You can't. So, I mean, they're not going to see you the next day. They're going to see you when their schedule opens up.
No, you know, and now that you're mentioning this, this is like, well, you're like Jack Nicholson in that movie with Diane Keaton.
But he had a real one.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the second time.
Mm-hmm.
When he sees her in the restaurant and he gets anxious and he's positive he's having a heart attack.
Right.
And he gets there and he's saying, you know, whatever he's saying, my heart's pounding out of my chest. And they give him a Valium or something. They say, you know, hey, listen, pal,
right.
You know, you're anxious, dude.
Right.
I mean, I guess, you know, that's you.
What? Let me ask you this.
Because I mean, it's all of us.
Look, I know you mean well. If you were me, seriously, because I'm open to, you know, I'm an open-minded person. There's one thing I can do, and that is I can step back and I can look from the outside in and evaluate my situation and take all the information and then make an educated decision. I thought up until this point, you know, really listening to what you had to say, and obviously you agree with him, Buzz, maybe I was doing, you know, I had done the right thing, that, you know, getting this appointment, getting this set. You're saying, you know, maybe perhaps a little more urgency on my part to just get this figured out, what's going on. What would you do? I mean, I'm not sure I have a GP that I'd want to
contact. First off, his wife works for a doctor. If that recommendation is not good enough,
mm-hmm.
You know my friend Tom, who knows 1,000 outstanding doctors.
God, I play golf with enough doctors.
I
know that.
And put on top of that, you know,
I got a goddamn relative that's a doctor. So I mean, maybe.
And I got my
own. I just hate doctors.
I got my own Dr. Melfi.
I do hate doctors. You know.
Well, but that.
But you know what? Here.
But you got to go to the doctor.
I got to really pull back the curtain here, okay?
Okay.
Oh, God.
Pull it.
My life is an open book.
Pull it.
Oh, this is hard.
Pull it.
This is very hard.
Pull it.
I know you're talking about a Dr. Melfi, and the Dr. Melfi that I saw when I went to see him, when we say Dr. Melfi's, there's a difference between psychologists and psychiatrists,
absolutely.
Okay? Psychologists are people that can counsel you, that can give you advice. Psychiatrists prescribe medication. They're medical doctors.
The
they're MDs,
right.
And they can do that.
Right.
That's the difference. When the only time in my life that I ever talked to somebody doing that was without a doubt the worst part of my life. And because of that, I hear the idea of seeing somebody like that, and I just say to myself, oh, God, I don't want to do this. But you know what? It's like mechanics.
It's like
grocery stores. It's like you get good ones, you get bad ones. And it's not that this guy was a bad guy. It just happened that he prescribed stuff for me at a time when it was very difficult.
On the Paxil and the fact that you know what?
That was a horrible time for me.
Right, and that was because of you going through your divorce and then...
Yeah,
and
but I mean, it was also counselors saying to me, you're bad because of this, and I was getting completely snowed. And I, you know what? That takes a long time to get by that because you put your trust in somebody that's supposed to help you, mm-hmm. and then, you know, they're... God, oh, don't! I could go on for 3 hours about that.
Right,
but maybe I should do that. Maybe I should do that in a psychiatrist's office.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's no secret that people that do what we do on any level, you know, that most of us are pretty screwed up, and I don't want to say screwed up. It's a normal thing to do.
No,
you're screwed up.
Well, of course I'm screwed up.
You're totally screwed up.
I'm totally screwed up. I know I'm screwed up.
God.
It's just the first time that my screwed-upness manifested itself. You know what, boy? You always talk about this, too.
What?
I feel as good as I felt in 3 days. I feel right now.
Now, if I could give you one
the load,
last...
where is it?
No, no,
it's gone.
It ain't gone. It ain't gone because, man, as your friend, you got issues. I know you've got issues that I would not bring up on the air, and you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we all do.
That I think, for, I've listened to you talk on the couch for long enough.
Yeah.
The problem is right there, right in your head.
Mm-hmm.
If you felt good opening up on the radio and getting some of it out,
right.
I'm not an advocate of, you know, say laying on the couch. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, man, let someone who doesn't know anything about your situation
right.
hear it and get some objective advice. You know, or at least somebody to listen.
Yeah.
Who's not going to judge you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, as good as it feels to get it out here.
Right.
I mean, you know, you can't say everything you feel here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be 100% honest.
No.
You know what I mean.
I can't pour my soul out.
Well, you could.
I
think it would be fantastic.
I come from a background where you kind of, you know, maybe it is the New England thing a little bit. You don't let those things out,
right?
You deal with it, and it's something that there are two things that happened to me on Thursday when I was sitting there Thursday night. Number one, I realized early on that it was not necessarily that, you know, obviously mental things can manifest themselves physically, but that I didn't have the ticker issue that I really thought about for a long time. I think I probably was sold on the fact that that wasn't the problem. Number two, it was the first time in my life that I realized that everything that goes on in a person's life, if it's significant, can manifest itself physically. And with that realization, I realized that maybe you're right. I should seek out the right way, and I probably could do a better job of that. And I will do that. I will try that.
And you should do it because, you know, without being a faggot with you, you know, there's people that care about you.
Oh, you know what?
Big stupid F. And
today
care of yourself.
Today was a little bit much coming in here, but you know, it's so funny. I don't mean any offense to anybody here. I really,
especially
really
Orientals.
I don't really mean offense.
No disrespect.
You know what? The people that know me the best didn't deal with it. You know, didn't say, hey, what's going on? You knew that I was going to talk. You know,
right.
You knew I was coming in here. I don't think I communicated to you how difficult this was going to be for me to come in and talk about it. It's much easier now to talk about. It really is. But everybody, you know, was extremely supportive. And, you know, no, the answer is I didn't know that. You don't know that. That's the way I live my life. You know how I am. I cruise around and I just think, hey, do your job. Show up. You said this to me before. You know, you realize how many people do care. And I appreciate that. And I think that I will take your advice and I will make some phone calls. I'll make some phone calls tomorrow and let you know how that goes.
It's everybody's advice to you, I think.
Yeah, I see. But it was not done out of fear or neglect or anything. It was done because I kind of thought I had done everything I should do. And now hearing you guys talk, it kind of says, well, maybe I should do a couple more things to do that. So I'll pick your brain. I'll get some, you know.
Good.
We're not going to the same shrink, though. That's not going to happen. I don't think that's, you know.
Why?
Because he
already knows all about you.
It'll save a lot of time,
really. he's got a dossier on you.
Like,
okay.
Nice. But seriously, to Don, to Rob, and to Buzz,
yeah.
All of you guys were very, very nice over the weekend and just extremely supportive, especially you know, Don, and when you said to me, hey, just chill out on Friday, and because that's what you need to do, because you know I would have come in here on Friday and tried to do it.
See, that's the honest part. That's when, because said to Mike, yeah, we do the show no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I said, yeah, I tell right away. I said, you know, why don't you just take the day off?
Right.
And then you said, well, okay, I guess. And then I said, what do you want? Would you feel more comfortable? And you said, I would feel so much stress if you guys did the show without me. And I thought you were being very honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, well, it's true. I don't know why I've always felt, you know.
And what the hell? I mean, I was thinking on Thursday night, you're talking to me about having maybe a heart attack or a panic attack. And while we're talking about doing the show Friday, you're saying, you know, if you guys go in and do the show without me, I'm going to be stressed out. But on the other hand, I really can't come in and do the show because I'm going to be too stressed out. But I want to come do the show. But if you do it without me, I'm going to be more stressed out.
I realized about noon on Friday that your call as far as me not coming in on Friday. Because you don't think, you know, when you're in a situation like that, I don't care anybody that's ever been there. you can't help. It's a normal feeling to feel guilty because you're like, God, mm-hmm. there's sick people in here.
Right.
God almighty, there's an old lady like from a nursing home that broke her arm that was just howling, and she was in real pain. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there, you know, going, oh, gee, I've got an elevated heart rate. It's like you feel guilty. And I still feel guilty a little bit, but I also know at the same time that I did the exact thing, the proper thing. Mm. I did the right thing because I wasn't
going to... Except for the driving part.
Except for the driving part. Everybody has told me that, so that's it. So okay. I'll let you know how it goes. All right. I hope I find a doctor. Ooh, I hope I find a doctor.
Do we have a plan now? Like, if this happens again, do we know who's going to drive you? Are we all set?
My plan right now, Buzz,
Joe,
will be to get a general practitioner.
Joe.
A new GP that I'm going to go to and talk to.
Buzz was speaking about.
Yeah, no,
when you have your next on-air attack.
Right, who wants to be the driver?
We need a designated driver.
The bottom line is you have to be here with Rob and Buzz to do the show.
Right. I think a driver is the wrong way to go. I think we should trade out and have a doctor here all the time. And we can trade it out.
We could trade it?
Sure.
Okay. Will it be that doctor that was in the Cannonball Run movie?
Why don't we just get a station ambulance? put the wraparound logo. Us on one side, the junkies on the other. The ambulance, but we'll put your pictures backwards, so when you look in the rearview mirror, you look right.
All right, we got a break. A decent producer would have said we should break, even though Mike's pouring his soul out.
Hey, come on. Stop the fighting. Stop the fighting!
Now look what you've done.
Look what you've done.
Look what we've done.
Look what you've done.
Okay, stop it! I can't feel my left hand.
Mike's Breakdown is brought to you by Head On.
Yes.
Head On products available without a prescription at retailers nationwide. Try Head On today. That's for Westwood One.
Yeah.
Okay? All right.
Jesus, we made it.
Yeah. We
made
Congratulations.
It.
You made it through 1 hour.
Man. Well, you know, that's that 5 o'clock hour that I'm shooting for right here.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Glad you're okay. We'll be right back, everybody.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
You hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
The Don and Mike Show.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
Broadcasting Butterball Naked, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
Right. Hey, I still want to put out that EPB.
Who the hell is she?
Looking for Lisa.
I think we know what the B stands for.
Lisa, the homeless lady who Buzz thinks is a bunt.
Yeah. And that's why she ran away, right?
Prove me wrong, lady.
And you got to think about that now the next time you're watching a baseball game.
Yes.
There's a bunt down the left field line.
He lays down a beautiful bunt. Beautiful bunt. Really got a soft touch on that one.
That bunt is going to be hard to field.
Bunts are us.
Anyway, Lisa the homeless lady, please contact us.
Yeah.
Honey.
Yeah, thank you would be nice.
We did give you our office last week. We did supply you with food, drink. Young Joshua Tree, who would have been a sexual slave for you.
Right. Well, I think the pattern was kind of set with Robert. I think that we shouldn't be really surprised that she didn't contact us. You know, some people are takers, some people are givers.
That's right.
Bob Mailman. Okay, listen, Lisa, I'm still holding out hope that you're not a major league bunt. So you got to contact us. If you don't contact us by the end of the show today.
Guilty.
Guilty of being a bunt.
And Lisa, this is Mike back from the ER. I wanted to say one thing to you that, Lisa, as far as you're concerned, my butt's a little bit sore because I am sitting squarely on the fence.
I like her. Hello there.
Listen,
hey, Rob likes her.
No, he doesn't.
I like all listeners.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Brenda.
Yes, Brenda.
Congratulations, Brenda.
Hi, I'm okay. Mike, I have the same thing that you have.
Well, maybe that's why you didn't notice. We didn't ask how you were.
Of course you do.
All right.
Yeah, that's okay, Brenda.
Brenda.
I take Ativan 4 times a day.
Mm-hmm. And see how good it's working for her, Mike?
Yeah, and this is precisely the reason this might be the reason I didn't take it before the show today.
Why?
Because I really didn't want to have it, because if we were doing
it's a good thing you didn't. I mean, every time I saw you or talked to you over the weekend, you'd be like, I'm not. I only took it an hour ago, and you
it
were
takes
just
a while to get used to.
Mike was so high over the weekend on this stuff.
Ativan and pie for little Brenda.
Yes, sir.
When they send you to the psychologist or whatever, what the first thing they're going to do is they want to put you in this group, and then they want to bring on the panic attack to show you how to cope with it. And I was
Mike. You don't have to believe everything everybody calling says
or anything. Yeah, young Brenda, let me just tell you this. First of all, I will not be in a group. That will not
that's
be
what
happening.
I told them. That's mm-hmm. what I said. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what I will say and mean it.
Now she's up to four a day.
Have you ever been hospitalized, Brenda?
Yes, because the first time it happened, they thought I had a stroke, and I was in the hospital for 7 days.
Eee. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Brenda. Say hi to Rhonda and Rhoda. Bye.
Bye!
Bye now.
Bye. That was a very uplifting call. Sure. You know that goodwill that I told you about during the commercial
what do
break?
You expect?
It's erased. It's
hello, here. Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, okay.
I had the same thing, too, and I'll keep it short and brief. Mike, it's hard to deal with, but the first thing I'm going to tell you is probably to quit drinking because I was a pretty heavy drinker, too.
Yep.
But with if you really apply yourself, you can drink through it and come out on the other side.
There you go.
But
that's, is that the type of positive call you're looking for?
It's a good call right here. Yeah. It's a real good call.
Not a naysayer.
I had a mimosa over the weekend.
Not in Mike's show.
Of course you did. Right without a man.
Of course you did. Why not?
Exact same thing happened to me. Complete with going to the hospital. It was about 10 years ago. And I ran out of medication, thought that's a one-time thing, and I ended up back in the emergency room with the same thing. So you definitely want to make sure that you have medication. Even if you're not taking it, it'll make you feel good that you have it.
This is, I agree. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad call.
Insurance.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye. Aren't we a society of pussies?
Mm-hmm. Take a pill.
Where's my pill? Speaking of, where's mine? Oh, that's right. I don't even bring them to work anymore. That's how strong I am.
Look at you go.
Good for you. I don't bring my little Xanax to work.
Here uh-huh. I come to save the day.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Mighty Mouse.
Hello.
Mighty Hello. Mouse.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Mike, don't worry. Don't believe that group thing. That's nonsense.
Well, I think Brenda perhaps...
I have a splendid psychiatrist who's given me my own magical pills for my own little anxiety disorder, and he's never said one word to me about any group thing.
I would do a group one.
You ever do a group, Don?
Yeah, it was... Well, they had to sit in a circle.
Well, I know. I
said that some guy got, what a jerk you are. And I realized I was in the wrong group.
Wrong
I
mean, circle.
As it turns out, I was in the right group. But
was
I
that
was...
the one you told me about where it was all men and then the doctor sat in the middle of the circle and told you all to thread the needle?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one that could. I don't see how this is going to help me with my anxiety.
Help!
And then they let me sign a release to be in the film.
Right. You didn't even know you were being filmed until after the fact.
Hello,
right.
Donna Mike Show.
And the doctor said that's so you would behave naturally.
Hello.
Baby.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, just a quick comment about the Ativan.
Yeah, go ahead.
we used to have a little nickname for it on the street.
Yes?
We used to call it Out of it. Yeah, absolutely.
I bet they had a nickname for you on the street. Was it Pump?
Not quite.
Oh.
Thanks, though.
You're close.
Something nicer.
Bye!
Eat two.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Eat two, Brute.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
You talking to me?
Negative.
Not anymore.
Negative. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Turn it down. Turn phone down. Down. Good boy.
He turned it down and put it down.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
Yes, pick up, please.
Come on now, no speakerphone, please.
So impersonal.
Okay.
Come over. Were you on the other side of the room?
I like him better at a distance.
Don and Mike. Don and Mike.
See?
We're wasted.
See, we're wasted?
I don't know. All I know is he's singing some song about us.
I think he played all the instruments himself.
I think he's milking his instrument.
He is. Much like when you went to group.
That's it. He's gone.
Okay, gentlemen, glad to have you all here. Please pull your stools closer together.
Oh, much like I did with Gary Shandling. Oh, when he finally called. Christ, I crawled up in there. I mean, I was.
Did he appreciate it, or was he put off by it?
I think so.
He did.
I was right up there where food comes out. Hello, Don and Mike show. I mean, I was neck deep.
Yes.
Hey, Golden Boy, walk it off, Dink.
Thank you.
Walk it off. That's his advice.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Coach. Give me a shot. I just need a shot. Cut me, Mick.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Okay, how you doing?
I am well.
Hey, yeah, Don and Mike show. Big Monday episode, everybody. How about the Super Sopranos last night? Vito is dead. Hello.
Mike, I just wanted to let you know I felt the same way after seeing Elliot Yameen's mother cry.
That's what did it.
Shortness of breath.
That's what did it. The parade footage.
Hold on. I actually said this to my girlfriend over the weekend when I was discussing your health.
Yes.
I said, you know, I thought it was weird that Mike cried during Elliot Yameen. I did. I said, don't look at me like that.
I'm glad. Well, you went here to the same philosophy of walk it off.
Was
right?
It a red flag? No.
It's a red flag.
No, that's what I'm saying. I said, no, I'm not saying walk it off.
That I cried was a red flag?
I said to her, think about it. I've known Mike a long time. He couldn't have been out of his mind drunk either because you were here doing the show.
I wasn't drunk at all. Not watching Elliot.
But you were drunk earlier in the night, right? And then
you got home. Did I watch it on TiVo?
Yeah,
I was loaded.
Right,
yeah.
So, but still.
So that's what it was.
But you cried at Elliot Yameen being kicked off American Idol?
See, and that was a red flag to you.
Should have been a red flag that Mike is got panic and anxiety issues.
A man on the edge?
Really?
No, I said, you know.
I'm so happy you figured it out. I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time. So happy you figured that out. I'm so happy that was the red flag. Man, it gets me all choked up.
You mentioned that. You know, he did cry about American Idol, about Elliot Yameen.
Well, I was seeing his mom. You know, I mean, seeing his mom. Right. She was overcome with emotion in the parade for the poor lad.
I saw his
mom in Richmond, Virginia. I thought it was a very touching moment.
I saw his mom on TV on the National Geographic Channel.
The shrunken head part?
Shrunken head.
Unfixed.
Did you see her when you were at the emergency care place?
Yes, I did. Saw about five of her, actually. Delightful.
Hello there. Oops, Don and Mike show. Hello.
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 How are you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you.
How are you, sir?
Oh, man, I'm getting better. But I saw the radio that I listen to you guys on every single day walk across the floor.
Really?
Really?
Yes. I mean, actually travel across the floor real slow. Uh-huh. I put it down with a can. Come back in here, the radio in here. I asked my girlfriend, I said, I know you. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
I know you see that radio moving.
Who is?
You stop moving. I went to Sinai Hospital.
Who is?
And they did the same thing for me. And I had stopped drinking for a week.
I didn't understand. Like, this is a brother in arms with you.
Well, he said he had to stop drinking for a week. I should point out.
I had stopped. And I think it caught up with me.
Oh, you had stopped drinking for a week.
I had stopped.
Things radio started walking.
So did you get better when you started drinking again?
Thank you. Yes, I did.
You did? Oh, so that was the key.
I think it was, but I'm not drinking as much as I used to.
Good for you.
And again,
where's the sense in that?
Say that again, sir.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Thank
you. Just my own opinion. I could be wrong.
For the call. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Right. Hi.
Mike.
Yo.
Hey.
Yo.
You know, I had the same thing after I had my hemorrhoid plant. You'll be okay.
Something about that phone dropped out right after hemorrhoid.
Yeah, well, the stress of that.
Yes.
Hello, Don.
The body trauma, Buzz.
That's right.
What it is.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, people.
Hi.
Mr. O'Meara.
How do you do?
That fella, Elliot, took a shot at you this morning.
Oh, did he now?
He did.
Well, you know, that's what he does, and he has every right in the world to do that.
Not a first.
You know, he's not the most.
You know, when they stop taking shots at you, that's when you got to be concerned.
That's right.
That means you're special.
He wants our attention. It's been painfully obvious. Just like Rupert Pupkin's website.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You were the kings.
Yeah. Right.
Kings. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the tip.
Kings. You know, on the Rupert Pupkin site,
right.
Somebody showed me that the day that I said he was like Rupert Pupkin, mm-hmm. that somebody actually wrote that and posted, and he had the balls to post it on his site.
Right.
And he put a picture up of De Niro as Rupert Pupkin, and like it said something like, someone should remind Don how that movie ended. Oh yeah, that's right. The Rupert Pupkin is the big winner in that movie,
uh-huh.
King of Con, the King of King of.
How does that movie end?
That, well, that
doesn't
movie,
Rupert Pupkin
well,
like
he,
kill Jerry?
He, no, he kills on the show, uh-huh. but then doesn't he like get taken away? Isn't that?
Yeah, but I think he writes a book and becomes a very big success.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
Keep thinking that, Rupert.
Wait for the book.
Keep thinking that.
Obviously, he studied the film. Obviously, he identifies with the character. Can't begrudge him that if he identifies with that character.
Now, what I would love to do, because I know that I said that I was not going to rant about Rupert Pupkin's site,
right.
and I'm not. I think it would be a fun experiment if John went through, like, and archived his mailbag, which is supposed to be like a wide open anything goes, but it's obvious the guy censors it's his site, so he censors what gets on there.
To his editorial benefit.
I think it would be interesting, just over the last month, to read just his comments to emails that he has posted on his Rupert
just
Pupkin
his
site about it. Just his responses.
Right.
And then I ask you, ladies and gentlemen of the court, because this is not going to be me railing and calling this out
right.
this guy out.
Right.
I ask you, listen to these responses, and you tell me if he is in love with me or not. And if this whole...
But not in love with you in a good way.
No.
In love with you in a put you in the trunk of his car, duct tape you,
yeah.
and keep you like misery.
I mean, like a Rupert Pupkin way.
Or an Annie Wilkes way.
Yeah. Like clockwork, the way your pain mm-hmm. comes.
Yeah.
He'd like to make you his puppet.
It's too good. It's too good, DCR-TV Dave, because you're having your day in the sun right now, because we're number 15 in the ratings. Ooh. When is that going to change, Rob? When's that come out?
This week, I think.
This week, yeah.
Mm. Well, all I know is if you wake up one morning and you're handcuffed to a radiator, you're not going to have to really think much harder.
Because I
don't know who it is.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Hey, can you go to Pupkin's site and, like, archive over the last, I don't know, month, whenever he posts someone writing something about the show, which is mainly negative. You know, go figure, if you read that, you would figure everybody in the world hates us.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want, if you could just highlight for me his responses.
The stuff about the show?
Oh, no, that would be fantastic. All that's the things, because his are like little one-sentence, snide little
comments.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. That, that's funny. That's not raving out. That's showing this guy's level really, he's like a chick that I broke up with. Now,
here would be all of his responses and like read them one right after the other.
Yeah, and that, yeah, I'm not talking like about the stuff that people write.
No. Do you think it would make sense if we read like his responses one right after the other?
Yes.
Without reading
yes.
the other emails?
Yes.
They
yes,
probably
I do.
Tie together.
Yes, I really do.
And you just want his responses to stuff about this show.
Yeah, whenever someone writes something about us, just like over the last...
Anything month. About us, anything about the show.
Because what's interesting, you got to remember how this thing happened with this guy, with Rupert Pupkin. That he runs the Rupert Pupkin site,
mm-hmm.
okay? And a couple of times I thought he went over the line with his editorial comments. There's a mailbag section
right.
where any schmuck can write anything, and he puts up whatever he wants, free country. But then he writes his own comments,
right.
and to those he is accountable. And there were a couple that I thought were over the line, making jokes about Frida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my perception is that it was in poor taste.
Yeah.
Guy wants to be taken seriously as as some type of objective authority on media. So I called him on it. And I said, you know, you write about my dead wife, I'm going to talk about your dead mom. And then, all of a sudden, it's like I broke up with him. Because I said, I'm not going to talk about this site anymore, and if I ever do, if I ever rave out, I'm going to give $5,000 to the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not raving out now, I'm giving you some background, because this is going to be great, funny, homosexual radio. Immediately, the guy flip-flops, okay? It's like, keep in mind that
he originally said he won't nothing about our show until the beginning of May.
Here's how it is. Here's how this weird Rupert Pupkin relationship evolved. That he's got this site and I was his man of the year.
Yes,
for 2005.
Right.
Who knows?
Like 5 months.
Man of the year. for being such a great broadcaster and a great guy and everything else. So what happens is as soon as you know, he pisses me off about Frida, and I call him on it on the air.
Right.
The guy's agenda, you know what it is? It's like, in his mind, we've been going out.
Sure.
And he had, you know, he's dating me, and he's like giving me a ring and stuff.
Right.
And then I say to him, you know what? forget it, you're a dweeb. You know, you went over the line.
Mm-hmm.
And against our show, it will be hilarious to read just his responses, and it don't count as a rant. Because it's
the one thing that stood out in my mind is to such an extent, and I'm really not sure that any show has gotten this special treatment, when he informed his readers to remove WJFK from their presets.
John,
which
get
to
him.
To me was the all-time, I mean, that was the real, you know.
Get them all and run them in here.
All right, let me see. I'll have them for you in the next break.
Thank you. And Buzz, well, what do you have a name for the segment?
Yeah, Rupert Pupkin, in his own words.
Just be one of the
guys. Because they're all the same kind of, most of them are controlled. But some of them are actually, you have to really read between the lines,
right,
where he's really taking shots at us.
And we're going to go very deep, excuse me, behind the scenes for 1 second. It's weird that this guy, Rupert Pupkin, appears on what, Lutard is what, an internet radio show?
Yes.
Okay. So the guy goes on this internet radio show, which is, you know, his prerogative.
Right.
This guy, Lutard, is a guy who used to be like a danger boy, a stunt boy for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the falling out with him. And, I mean, really, I gave the guy literally 5 or 6 chances to come back on the show and just be involved.
Sure.
The guy just creeped everybody out.
You really could have given him more, as far as I was concerned.
Now,
Mike was a big advocate.
I'll be honest about this.
I used to tell you, this guy is insane.
So anyway, this is so yesterday's news, okay?
Right. Long time ago.
Well, as it turns out, you know, here's a surprise. He's like shacking up with Rupert Pupkin.
Right.
And they're getting together, I mean, you know,
computer-wise.
So Rob tells me.
You know, do a shoot a new Three's Company, all you have to do is bring in Carl Grossman.
Rob tells me that this guy, Lewis the Retard, calls John back in the office. And what does he say?
He wants to know why he's banned from this building.
Okay. First off, to Craig Coleman, you're not banned from this building. If you think you're so scary talented, really, that you're good enough to get a weekend job here and I'm the guy that's holding you back, knock yourself out.
Right.
It's been my experience. You're a prick. You're a little useless turd. You don't know anything about radio. You stink at radio. Good luck. Send them a tape. I ain't holding you back. Okay? So he calls John in the office. You know, well, why? I don't know why I'm banned from this.
They both share a common obsession, which is pretty.
Yes.
You know, over the years, and we've been doing this long enough, there is a certain type of individual that what comes through the radio, they get a little bit attached to, and it's like odd, it's different, and it's usually guys that really don't know the business of radio.
It's like the 6 degrees of separation. It's like, hold on a second, this guy Lewis, who was a guy who was interested in radio and did some stunts for us, and I tried to help him get some jobs in radio and stuff. And, well, okay, so then he had a falling out like everybody does with us, and we go different ways. Well, then he's only famous. He's only known, if you could even say he's known, from having been, at best, a bit player, someone remembered on the show best for yelling at Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
He runs out, and immediately he goes on, you know, on the offensive against us about what dicks we are, and like, they've got the balls to call the office and say, why is he banned? You're not banned.
Anybody can get in this building.
Yeah. Really, you're not banned? You think you're so hot? The man's name is Greg Gillespie. Give him a call. I would not stand in the way of talent.
Oh, God.
And that is a...
Lutard.
That is... No, Mike.
I wish
nothing more than an hour for Greg Gillespie with Lutard. Okay? So as long as we're straight on that, that's it.
Nothing I like better than when you pour water on the weeds, Don. There's nothing better than you pouring water on those weeds.
Well, is it or is it not a fact that he called?
I tell you,
he called.
Segment's over. We're going to have dandelions on the front lawn.
He called, for sure. He called psychotic, you know, I don't know why I'm banned from the building. Dude, you don't matter enough to me to ban you. First of all, I can't ban anybody. The only seriously, the people I can ban from this building are people who I have temporary restraining orders against.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And right now, Lutard, you're not on that list. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. It's a list I carry with me at all times.
Yeah, you're 30 or 40. Only 30 or 40
two
people.
2 pages long. Jesus Christ. Then where's my TRO? TRO!
Temporary restraining order.
Right. Whoa! Okay.
Well, you know, we get a lot of these guys over the years.
So anyway,
some of them... Some of them just managed to hang on.
That's behind the curtain. So when we come back at some point, we'll read Rupert Pupkin's.
Rob, see, you took it and ran with it. You made it your livelihood.
Turned it into a career.
You turned it into a career.
Uh-huh. Well, here at Rupert Pupkin's Love, we'll try to find Lisa, the homeless lady. If nothing else, we'll talk to Joshua Tree about what happened on Thursday, why she is missing.
Good
and,
man.
Oh, I've got weekend stuff to tell you about myself. Mm. Weekend stuff. You know. How... Gotta say this delicately. How much is too much?
Oh.
When it comes to togetherness.
Uh-huh.
With a new girlfriend.
Oh, dear.
When you're at that point when...
You're coming to a certain phase of the relationship?
No, everything's fine. It's just, you know, there's a lot of FaceTime.
Everybody needs me time.
Yeah.
Well, was she banned from the building?
Yes, Adrian is banned from the building.
That's a start. I like the title of that album. Everybody needs me time, no. Little time for me.
No, much like your issues, these are mainly issues.
I don't have issues, Don.
These are issues. Oh, yes, you do.
Do not.
Yes, you do. You got past due issues.
Oh, God. I'm starting to, I feel clammy.
But I got issues, too. These are just some of my issues.
All right, if you have issues, then I'll accept the fact that I have issues.
Not her issues. And
I have issues and pie.
I believe that, now you don't know the celebrity that I had the chance to meet on Saturday night, do you?
Yeah.
Did I call you?
No, Rob told me.
Ah.
I did not.
See, I'm not that out of it. I can still do that. See how I did that?
I think you'll like it.
Oh, really?
I think on
my scale of, on a scale of 1 to 10, how cool would this celebrity be for me?
For you? I'd say a high 6 to a 7.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. Rob gives it an 8.
I give it a high.
Really?
I would give it an 8.
I like it a lot.
And this is real contact and everything.
Oh, no. And?
Not telephone?
No. He came up to me.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. It's a man.
He came up. Yes.
That's a
it's
clue.
It's a man, baby.
That's a clue.
He came up to me and then later had an unfortunate accident with a bottle of wine spilling on his tan suit.
Yeah.
He was holding his granddaughter pontificating about how to raise children.
Wow.
He's got a loud voice. That's another clue for you.
God, how many people get a chance to meet the vice president?
A loud voice, though. And I think if we get a chance, I actually today may break my rule about, I said I wasn't going to put my girlfriend on the air because, you know, it's like Frida. But I might put her voice on the air today only so she can tell you a story, and I'll give her 60 seconds. Something that happened to her. Isn't that generous of me?
It's so nice that on her debut performance, you're going to put her on a clock.
Well, you know, because it's not a performance. It's just something happened to her over the weekend. And it's like the thing, it's like when I come in and say things that happened to me. And I know things.
Rob, well, she didn't lose an eye. Rob was indicating she may have lost an eye.
Something happened to Carrie this weekend, too.
Well, so that was simply a swollen eye.
That's her eye.
That was simply a sock in the eye.
That's the same thing.
A black eye.
Hey, buddy.
Anyway, oh, I'm going on here. Something happened to her that if you're OB 11, just let's just go to break. I'll tell you about it when we come back.
25 minutes to zero time.
Number 15 Arbitron rated the Don and Mike Show.
I'm asking you to take over the show for 6 weeks. I mean, what? 6 weeks? I'll give you anything, but don't ask me to do 6 weeks. I can't take over the show for 6 weeks. I can't even take over my own life for 6 weeks. And you're asking me to do something that's impossible. It's impossible. Don't you understand? What?
What are you doing down there so late?
It's impossible. I'm trying to tell you that. What do you want? You want the tears to come out of my eyes?
There's got to be a way you can work it out. It's just 6 weeks.
Rupert, who are you talking to?
Mom.
What is it?
Please stop calling me.
Will you give me an answer?
All right, you got the 6 weeks. I'll give you the 6 weeks. Don't bother me. I'll give you the 6 weeks. What can I say? You happy now?
You're a tough man, Rupert. We gotta be in this business.
The Don and Mike Show.
Better. That's right. A better tape of that.
Yeah.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Longer. I'm the one telling you how it is.
Right.
Not a word, my sweet. Just listen to the Don and Mike Show.
I just said doo-doo.
Yes.
Well, this is, I guess, going to be the worst week if you're a TV fan, because after this week it's over, right?
So sad.
I'd be quite into the football season ending. It's like, 2 hours, 24 over tonight.
Right.
Then tomorrow night, American Idol. And then on Wednesday night, they just stretch American Idol out like Paula Abdul's legs. They're going to make an extra half hour to go along with the 2 hours of crap.
Jeez. 2.5 hours?
There's going to be a special red carpet presentation. Fox is breaking in to do something from 7:30 to 8 on Wednesday night.
An hour is normal. 2 hours is greedy. 2.5 hours is insanely greedy.
Insane.
Well, insane.
What are you, insane? Yeah, that tonight. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Yeah, and then all
I better be on, Jack.
All the Sopranos stuff from yesterday. I mean, you know, like everybody, I'm torn on that. You know, on one hand, enough with Carmella. You know?
Enough with Carmella and the close-ups with her, like, looking at statues.
My handsome man. Oh. Where's my handsome? Where's the Louvre?
But come on. And don't think, I mean, there are so many great parts. Tony getting the BJ, Tony with AJ, and I think highly symbolic when Phil comes out of the closet.
Oh, yeah.
To kill Vito.
I didn't even process that one.
Phil is coming out of the closet. My man, Phil.
He's coming out of the closet, and he's not doing his own dirty work. He won't soil his hands with the murder of Vito.
He simply watches.
You know who I felt sorry for watching that episode last? That guy in New Hampshire that was in his driveway.
Johnny Cakes? Really,
no, the guy that Vito shot, you know? That guy.
He's still laying there.
You know, he's probably still laying there right now.
Oh, he's so gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so not even a part of the show
just now. So not, you know, no real need for Vito to slam into that car and shoot that guy.
I feel sorry for Phil Leotardo's forehead.
His quarter-inch forehead.
Hey, exactly. Stop it. He's the best mobster on that show.
He's the real mobster.
I mean, you know, Pauly Walnuts is great.
And great legs.
Great legs for Phil.
Oh, I'm great, bad.
Yeah, with his black boxes. I watched. See, I'm already out of the closet.
What happened to my trousers?
And didn't he name some like Italian type of pants that he was wearing?
I think it was funny.
Yeah. About when what's his name? Vito's kids are reading in the newspaper.
Oh yeah,
about Vito's daddy.
Yeah.
An alleged homosexual.
Right. And it's what's great about when they have a hit, this is the reason why why I like my gratuitous violence on The Sopranos. Because when you have the gratuitous violence, you get a chance to let the script show you what guys these really are. Because he looks at her and says, I'll pay for the funeral costs.
Yeah. It would be a pleasure to pay for the funeral costs. You know, it's probably better for the kids, not having the role model like that. you understand.
And she's there sobbing, and he's comforting her as he sat in the motel room.
Too great.
And you had to know Vito knew it was coming, going to that motel.
Too great. My handsome man, I'm at the Louvre. Tony, it's so beautiful here. God forgive you. There have been so many things. The Speck House.
You need a vacation. Take some time off. Take Ro. Take lovely Ro. Take lovely man voice Ro.
Where's my effing glove?
And like a Frenchman, I don't care how dirty or hard up he is.
Right. He was a prostitute.
Is going to pick up Ro. Uh-huh.
Please.
Hey, Ro.
Is gigolo? Is that a French word? Or I think it is. A gigolo.
All right, here we go. Thank you, John.
I guess this is
from Rupert Pupkin's website.
Mm-hmm. In his own words. How far back did he go?
Well, let's find out.
April 27th.
There's my handsome man.
Hi, darling.
Okay, thank you, Yanni.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go back roughly 3 weeks.
All right.
Okay? And I guess I'm only going to read his response when someone writes something about our show.
All okay. Right.
This is the guy who's, you know, wants to think of himself.
So it's funny.
It's like being, you know, he thinks of himself as being like the voice where the radio insiders speak, and he gives you an objective point of view and that you won't get anywhere else. But
right.
Anyway, we'll just, so again, the setup on this is that on Rupert Pupkin's site, he posts the messages, people saying, you know, Don and Mike suck, Don and Mike suck, right. Don and Mike suck.
So on a regular basis.
So he posts those, and he writes a response. Here now are his responses from the last 3 weeks.
Very good.
Oops, sorry. Well, you can hear why we had that problem.
There we go.
Dave's response. The plan afoot, if CBS doesn't sell some of its DC radio properties, is to move the WJFK afternoon show from Fairfax to WARW's old studio in Rockville. Apparently, the afternoon team has grown weary of removing the crusted microphone spittle left by the morning and late morning personalities at JFK. WARW is now in Silver Spring down the hall from Metro Traffic.
Innocent enough. That one's innocent enough.
Sorry. Dave's response. That click you're hearing is coming a lot earlier than 3 p.m. My theory is that at least 20% of WJFK's now former listeners have taken the station off their car radio presets with the departure of Howard Stern. Now when grazing on the commute home, they're not bound to punch up Don and Mike because they aren't there. By the way, while you're thinking about it, why not go out and replace that 106.7 button with something else?
Yep.
Then here's another one.
Rob, what's wrong with this thing here?
That wasn't nice.
Any idea?
That wasn't nice.
Dave's response. Look, Don and Mike's sucky ratings are one of the biggest stories in DC radio this week. This website is dedicated to local radio and TV, and it is our duty to allow listeners to vent, to express their opinions. So yes, the moratorium has ended. Of course, he's writing about when he banned anybody from writing about us after
I see.
Broke up
that
with him.
Moratorium.
The moratorium has ended. Should only fat, rich guys who have radio shows be allowed freedom of speech? I say no. You do too. And DCR-TV, excuse me, Rupert Pupkin is here to serve. We stand proudly as we have since 1997. We remain your voice in this era of big corporate media. That's our mission. God willing. Dave's response. I hear there's a light game with WJFK FM. You take a shot every time you hear a gay or fag reference. See if you can last half an hour without passing out dead drunk.
Another positive comment. Sounds like fun, though.
Dave's response. Dave's response. Call it constructive criticism. We all want for Don to get his show back above 15th place. So if you've got some advice for Don, please post it here. He's a regular mailbagger, and he really needs our help.
Now, that's a classic strategy. That's, of course, the passive-aggressive, which he...
Dave's response.
Does quite well.
Another one. Dave's response. It's quite simple, actually. Don is much more of an unlikable dick without the influence of a woman, first Frida, later B.A., on him in the show. Rather than try to recycle bits from years ago, Don ought to get CBS to triple whatever they were paying B.A. and bring her back as producer.
I agree.
Next response.
You agree with that one, Rob?
I do.
Okay. Dave's response. My advice? Less talk and more corny old pop tunes.
So again, that's kind of passive-aggressive.
These are all out of context because I'm just reading his responses, right. But the guy seems to be a bit obsessed and it keeps going. Dave's response. A brainstorm. David and Mike for 106.7 Afternoon. Well, at least he'd be working for the money and not sitting on his ass. Give Rob A. a 20% raise and he'd laugh girlishly as just as hard at David's lame jokes as he does at Deleted's. So that's where he's leaving my name out.
There, now he's taking the... Now the love. He's tried to keep it balanced and share the love with all of us. And then we know that you're the one he truly loves and he just lets it out. Yeah, he can't help himself.
Dave's response... I'm waiting for the day Don does a show with an oxygen tube up his nose. How very Imus. Dave's response. Hey, I've already transcribed the first hour of today's show right here.
Wow.
Don goes to the dentist, Madeline Kahn jokes from Mike. Don goes to Safeway and runs his car into an old lady's car. That's 25% of today's show right here. I tuned out at 4 p.m. to catch that fat biz guy on Fox News.
Sounds like fun.
Dave's response. One number.
That would mean, incidentally, that he listened for an hour.
Right. Dave's response. One number. They're rated number 15.
That's information
Dave's,
got from us.
Dave's response. Really loved hearing Mr. D pouring the Grey Goose vodka from his co-producer into the trash today. Yes, indeedy. The show's back on the comedy track. Dave's response. And to you and others in a like situation, don't forget to take 106.7 off your car radio's presets. Hey, why waste the button for a station you don't listen to any longer? Dave's response. Hey, is it possible to program a car preset button to tune to 106.7, say, from 6 a.m. to noon, the Junkies in Rosenberg, and then have it switch to, say, 99.5 from noon till 6 the next day? That would be cool. Oh, and I forgot to say one thing. Even if you do occasionally listen to 106.7, don't let anyone know. Keep it a secret.
That's, that right there. You know, I'm not sure which is worse, the presets comment or that comment. It's
Dave's response.
Trying to hurt us.
Actually, WJFK does have a program director. But here's my dream lineup anyway. 6 to 10 a.m., Opie and Anthony. 10 a.m., Craig Coleman. 3 p.m., The Junkies. 7 p.m., The Return of Ron and Fez. 10 p.m., Peter Rosenberg. 2 a.m., Don and Mike Show.
That's our dream as well.
Dave's response. I'm still trying to find out which station is gayer, WJFK FM or WMAL. Every time you turn either one on, they're discussing or jesting about some aspect of homosexuality.
Oh, that seems to bother him.
Let it be us.
That does seem to bother him.
Dave's response. Oh, so that's what a producer is supposed to do.
You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it's completely out of context.
Dave's response. Must be all those Don geraniums. Dave's response. Go to RadioGodsForum.com and join a few hundred Don and Mike fans. Well, that's all we had just from the last
call. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Lovely.
That establishes the pattern that you were pointing out there.
He's in love. Let me see. So that would be, I guess, I just, not that I'm going to count, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 23. Only 23.
And I think there might have been one in there that was not editorial.
From a guy who claims that, you know, He's not fascinated.
A little more than one comment a day.
And just fixated on
that's
us.
Good. I like that. One a day.
Yeah, one a day.
One a day like a vitamin.
Get over that.
Hi, Rupert. Mom! Hi, Rupert.
Oh, Jerry, I can't do the show, Jerry.
Because you see, Rupert.
6 weeks, you're killing me.
Here's what makes it funny, Rupert. This is why. This is not a rant. This is funny. Well, first off, we're exposing whatever side it is of you that... You know, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to even get into what I think that might be. But
well, pretty obvious. I mean, yeah. you know, there's certain things you don't have to spell out.
The fact, don't you get that you're looking like a dumb bitch who got dumped by the most popular boy in school? Mm-hmm. Don't you get that? And even though you're running a website, RupertPupkin.com, where people allegedly write whatever they want, isn't it odd that all you ever post or all you ever allegedly receive are posts saying that we suck?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
And again, his right, it's just
true.
Listen to the responses. Those were one after another. You know what I call that, dude? You are obsessed.
Yeah.
You are in love with me. You know what there's going to be in your future? A TRO.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, join the club. Get a TRO.
He has every right. He has every single right to write whatever he wants on his website. We have every right to read it here.
Mm-hmm. I am not veto to your Johnny Cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa.
Right.
Okay? Listen, I broke up with you, bitch. Rupert, now... If you really do run your website, Rupert, what you'll do is be a good boy, and you will just stop editorializing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more you editorialize...
The more obvious it is.
I'm not sure. You know, the other thing that we wanted to say, I'm not sure if there are any other shows or even stations that he literally says don't listen to.
To get that daily attention.
And John says now that if you go back 5 weeks, back to that... He has over 58 different veiled references, including about how the food at your restaurant stinks,
mm-hmm.
about how you're fat and you're stupid and you're a laughing track, and about how you are worthless.
Yes, I am.
And, of course, I suck.
Mm-hmm.
You wish I did. You wish I did, Rupert.
Man, sitting there, you know. What he ought to do is put on a little red bow tie. What was that suit that Rupert put on?
Like a Pee Wee Herman's.
Right, it was a Pee Wee Herman suit.
Red tux.
A little red tux, right. Mom!
It's flattering. Me to do it 6 weeks.
It's very flattering.
Yes.
You know, reminds me of Teresa McBride. It's a girl that I once took out in high school, or junior high, and I was supposed to meet her, actually, on the show. Her sister came down, and she never showed up.
Right.
My heart. I understand how it feels, Rupert.
It's tough. You know, hell hath no fury like a lover scorned.
That's right. You know, when you listen to the radio compulsively every day. And
actually, it's a woman scorned, but I threw in lover.
Makes sense.
You love somebody.
No, you know what? I can change it. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
you love someone so much, and then they don't return the attention, and all you can do is lash out. Well, I'm getting your messages, darling, and the answer is, I'm sorry, I don't go that way.
Let go.
But thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Move on with your life.
Thank you.
Right now I picture a guy that has like a ZZ Top beard who is, he's doing something, but at the same time he's doing that, and he's doing what you went to group, he's doing that same thing, only he's crying at the same time. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, very.
Is that wrong?
Oh, my God.
I love it, but I hate it. I love it, but I hate it. I love it, but I hate it.
Anyway, how you doing, Rupert?
Hi.
How are you, Rupert? Rupert Pupkin! Ma! King of comedy.
Rupert!
Yes. And where was the response? See, that is an
Rupert, turn it down! I'm doing a thing!
That really is an incomplete list, because, like, for instance, where's the one that someone showed me last week where he had the picture of Rupert Pupkin? John?
That's true.
Hello?
Hello? Oh, for Christ's sake.
The phone will work. It's the Jerry Langford Show.
Here's John.
Hi, hello. John. I looked through everything in the archives. He must have taken it down. He must have been editing quickly as I was going through it.
I think he's great about that.
Yeah.
He does subtract all the time.
Because of all the stuff I looked through, there was no picture of Rupert Pupkin.
Okay. Right. All right.
But he keeps those pictures up of himself that he took with his own camera in the mirror.
Hi, Rupert. How you doing? It's me. The guy that kicked your ass to the curb. Because I found a better lay.
Mm-hmm.
I found a better piece of ass.
Mom. It's really interesting, the pattern. I've never really realized what that pattern is.
I've got to crystallize this, but not make it like it's so gay. But the thing that's so funny about it is if you read it, it's like, this is the only source of true news. All the newsmakers come to my side because they know I'm going to give them objective information. And I am an expert, and Bennett Gere talks to me, and the people at WTOP talk to me, and I know what's going on. Hold on, wait. Tell me about Donna Mike. Wait a minute, hold on. Turn your station off at 3 o'clock. I think Don is an asshole. Now, take me seriously.
This is for everybody else in the rest.
Take me seriously.
This is for everybody else in the rest of the country, okay?
All right.
If you're just tuning in, you want to know who we're talking about, celebrity he most resembles?
Yes.
A grown-up, bearded Kevin Covaeus.
I think that's an insult to Kevin Covaeus, Mike.
I apologize, but I'm just trying to do my job.
I think it is. All right.
Just trying to have a little fun, folks.
That's today's funny Rupert Cup. And maybe that's why we don't have all of them. Maybe that's, you know, maybe it's like in one of those movies. What was it? Maybe the first movie I remembered in was Clear and Present Danger.
Right.
Harrison Ford is going through and trying to find the file.
Right.
And the bad guy, who I know both you and I love, the guy with the wire-rimmed glasses.
Yeah, he's kind of a needle-nose kind of guy.
He figures out Harrison Ford is like in the CIA or wherever this is. And
right.
As Harrison Ford is unloading these files, he is downloading them as quickly. And they're showing up on Harrison Ford's screen, and by the time they get there, it's item deleted, item deleted.
Oh, as soon as you started talking about it, this guy called Chloe O'Brien. There's no question in my mind.
Delete! Control! Delete thing! Do thing.
Okay! Thank you, Rupert Pupkin.
RP.
Beautiful.
Rupert! Ma!
Turn it down!
Ma! I gotta do my thing now!
Ma! You think that's the guy's real goal someday, like Rupert Pupkin, that one day he'll be discovered on the show?
That's just what else could it be?
You're kidding me.
Any guy that has that, what do they want to be? They want to do what we're doing. Of course, that's what it's all about.
Funny. Hope you found it entertaining.
But they're afraid to leave the basement.
Not a thought, or not a sermon, just a thought.
That's right.
Not a rant, a bit of humor.
The light.
A good bit.
The sunlight.
Frankly, I'm flattered.
Should be.
My lady, would like to have her way with me.
It's a good feeling.
I'm sorry, m'lady. There's another lady in my life. I'm sorry, madam.
It's a good feeling. It's a good, good feeling.
I'm sorry I broke up with you after you made me your man of the year.
It is a feeling we've gotten from other writers.
That meant so much to me, and I know how much it meant to me because you took it away when I hurt your witty-bitty feelings. But I say, oh, you talk about my wife, I talk about your mom. Oh, I hurt your little bitty feelings.
You better be careful. He's putting on his scream mask now. He is.
Do you really think he works it?
Oh, of course.
During this show?
I don't think there's any question.
You know, I think what it is, I don't think it's because of this show. I think it's just I'm talking about the frequency in general.
Odds
are overwhelming that it would happen when the show was on.
You think it's unnatural? I mean, you think it's like nocturnal?
When you're talking probably eight a day, when you're talking about that rub-out factor.
Well, then he should be like in the animal kingdom. That's the case.
It's pretty amazing. You can put him in the Guinness Book of World Records.
And, of course, the guy that he's hooked up with, his good buddy, is the aforementioned Lewis the Retard.
Absolutely.
You know,
dream team.
That's right. That's
part of the dream.
That's like the yin and yang. Mm-hmm. It's like, I got two crazy bitches who will not leave me alone.
It's the dream team.
There they go.
Come on, let's go.
Okay.
Hi, Lewis. Hi, Dave.
Okay, when we come back, I do want to tell you about my real girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Not Rupert Pupkin. My real girlfriend and some stuff that happened over the weekend. And if you're just tuning in now, thank God, Mike is alive.
Thank God.
And it's after five.
Christ is king.
It's after five. I beat Thursday's record.
Bonus.
Big pussy had a panic attack last
week.
My
handsome man.
We will be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike.
You're f***ing disgrace.
Hi, Rupert. What's that? You want money for the Red Cross?
What, Rupert?
The Don and Mike Show.
Rupert.
The cure for your malaise. The Don and Mike Show.
Love machine.
Okay. John's bringing it down from the site, from Rupert's site.
Mm-hmm.
Won't stay with his log. Don't want to bore you. It's funny. Of course, here's what someone writes. Dave, sick of listening to the Eagle. See, when you're an important broadcaster and you say something off the cuff like the Eagle doesn't hunt flies,
right,
like Larry Lujack said to me,
right,
I don't know, 25 years ago, and I mention it, it's nice that when you go in to slam the show, no matter if you're a hater or the guy that runs the website, keep quoting me directly.
Right.
Keep using my own words. Thank you. That's why I have such a large ego.
We appreciate it.
Dave, sick of listening to the Eagle, who claims that he would never read your website or mention your name again.
Huh?
I lied again. Also interested, for years we've heard the monthly ratings don't mean anything, but now the Eagle is touting the fact they come out this week. What a tool. Again, this dick, whoever wrote this, entirely to his opinion.
Right.
The monthly ratings are important because we suck. We're number 15. That's why we're mentioned.
We want to see if we're making forward progress.
Right. So then
we're bringing you all along for the ride.
So then Rupert writes, the monthly Arbitrons for DC come out on Friday, and WJFK FM will be up, especially the Junks. That's the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to PD Greg Gillespie. Yeah, like he's got a clue.
Oh,
then
wow.
Hold on, here's the next one.
Strange alliance.
Next one I gotta read. I think it's funny how Don continues to mention this site all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. You know, go back and check our logs, dude.
Not really.
I don't.
Yeah.
After he swore he'd, quote, never mention it again, he can't help himself. Keep making empty threats, Don. What empty threats did I make?
Not to go there.
That's what your audience loves to hear. What a pathetic loser. And then Rupert writes back, I think I heard the word DCR-TV on 106.7 Airways this afternoon. Technically, a $5,000 donation to the Red Cross is in order. Don, you promised.
Well, you've done it. Now you've done it. Now you've given him what he wants. Now he's walking. Well, he's not walking. He's limping around.
Okay. To be technical, and I am a man of my word, I said if I ranted about your website. So I threw out the name there. You know what? I tell you what. I'll give $1,000 to the Red Cross today.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put the check. I'll pixelate out my name and my address. I'll put it on our website. And I say to you, Rupert Pupkin, If you have the discipline to go 30 days without writing about how much you love me, I'll make a $1,000 donation to the Red Cross in your name. Not to say that you can't continue to print whatever stuff people write,
mm-hmm.
but can you keep it in your pants?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because, as you know, I am a multimillionaire. It doesn't matter to me. I'm glad to give the $1,000 to the Red Cross.
Why today. Shouldn't you give?
You know why? I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. Mm-hmm. You're a little germ, and you're in love with me. And if you want to earn some money for the Red Cross, try not to show your love. Just try to keep it in your pants.
Fair enough.
See if you can go 30 days without writing something yourself. Not to say I'm editing the content on Rupert's site.
Right. No, you're saying that anyone can still post anything on that website.
Right.
And he can edit it. He just doesn't respond with his crap.
What do you think, Rupert? Are you up to the challenge?
I like it.
Now, we have a couple of emails. Let me see. Oh, everybody's flooding our email now with this. Don and Mike, I have sent over 35 emails to this douchebag's mailbag praising you. Mysteriously, they never appear for public viewing.
That's interesting.
Dear Don and Mike, I'm a frequent pro Don and Mike poster on the DCR TV mail fag. When Dave Hughes banned any reference to your show last week, I sent in the following message. He refused to print it. I sent it in twice to ensure he had received it. He threw it away.
Yeah.
It's not the first time he's done this. If you send this F an intelligent, cutting criticism of him, he will not print it. And then the guy wrote, he says, what the guy didn't put on his website was this guy wrote, Dave, I'm afraid you have now become Fox News, printing only the side of an issue you're aligned with. I prefer an unbiased moderator / editor. Heavy-handed moderators are the reason a lot of bulletin boards out there are not worth going to.
Right.
I am disappointed your once professional-seeming site is headed down that road. After all, you started it when you made fun of Don running over his dog and then made jokes about his dead wife.
Well, and that's the thing. If you're going to have a supposed website that has all the opinions. But no, it's not.
It's a gay love site.
Mm-hmm.
The guy loves me. So there you go. There's $1,000 because unlike you, I'm a man. I say it and I mean it.
Make it two. And I will put in two also, which will make the total, the original number of five. I'll go along with you.
If he
can do it for 30 days.
Hey, Rupert, how about it? Can you keep it in your pants?
Okay, you're donating $1,000 to the Red Cross right now.
Today, sure.
And if he goes 30 days, that's 30 days.
Walking around money. Pin money, pal.
Mm.
Glad to do it. You know why?
For you. For me, it's an amazing sacrifice.
You know why? Because it says... Unlike you, I'm a man of my convictions. Even if I say I'm not going to do something, and I'm not under any obligation to make any payment to any charity, but I'll do it. I'll do it. Now, I'm not the one pursuing you. You're the one pursuing me.
Mm-hmm.
Want to earn $1,000 for charity? More than that. Mm-hmm. How much, Mike, will you kick up?
I'll kick in two if you kick in two at the end of the 30 days, which means that'll bring the total. Bring the total to $5,000. You've already said that you will make a donation for $1,000. Mm-hmm. And at the end of 30 days, we will both post our checks on the website.
He won't be able to do it. He won't be able to do it. You know why?
Very simple.
He wish he could smell that burp right now.
Love is powerful.
It's not that he can't put different emails of people. And we're not even challenging him to be objective with the things that he throws away and puts on the website.
We know he won't
do that. We're saying no responses.
Right.
Just try it.
See if you can.
You know what it is? It's a little battle of discipline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also, that does not... If we're going to qualify, I am going to qualify this. Mm-hmm. That means you do include comments. Because I want the comments, because people still are going to inundate your website with comments about our show.
Of course.
You're just not allowed to respond. If it's a total boycott... It's not acceptable.
Right. So you can still.
What it is, you just can't join the party.
You can still
be a sacrifice.
You
for
can
this
still thing. Have your four or five male friends who enjoy writing that we suck and hang on my every word and have to quote me because you can't make the words up for yourself. Those guys can still write.
Yeah. Right. You can still tell these things to Craig Coleman. Just don't put them on the website.
Yeah.
See, if he can't join the party, he can't join the fray.
Isn't it funny now?
Mm-hmm.
And see, unlike you, Rupert, I'm right out there in the public. I'm not hiding behind a website.
Right.
People know me. They know where Mike and I work every day. I'm not lying about this.
Right.
There could be $4,000 for the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we can't take the heat. I don't think you're up to the challenge. Because if you had the chance, you'd bury your face in my underpants right now.
What will the date be? Can we figure that out, Rob? Can we figure out what the date will be?
June 23rd. Or yeah, that's our last show before vacation.
Perfect.
Yeah, that works
out.
No
response.
June 23rd.
May 23rd to June 22nd.
Out of that day, we'll make $4,000 donation to the Red Cross.
I'd be glad to do it. But remember the rule. These are our terms for the Red Cross.
And they're fair.
And our terms are you still have to include posts about this show. Doesn't matter to me what they are, but you have to do that. And you know what? You're going to get one every day. At least we know that. You're going to get probably 50 to 100 every day.
You're going to get people writing you saying, you're
I hate to keep qualifying, but this guy is a manipulative son of a bitch. I want to make sure we make it difficult for him.
He's going to get the emails where he's going to write them himself and put them up saying, you know, you are so right. Don and Mike are big mouth son of a bitches. Don is an ass. They don't have any talent. Don't print a response to this. That's fine. I'm just saying, based on your response since I broke up with you, I don't think you have the discipline. You're Rupert Pupkin, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You are Rupert Pupkin. And you could be a hero and earn $4,000 for the Red Cross.
And brag about it.
Right.
Yeah. But you won't be able to keep it in your pants. Because eventually, you're going to have to do
it. Oh, incidentally, that applies to right now, Rupert. So if you were thinking about responding to this challenge...
Oh, yeah, no.
The bets are off if you respond to this challenge.
The clock is running.
It started right when I read the last little thing that you wrote. And yeah, oh, that's really... Oh, that's not fair. You're talking about him, but he can't write about you. No, he can write about us. If he doesn't want $4,000 to go to the Red Cross.
Starting now.
Okay.
That's
funny and
Because really, we've made it a little bit more difficult for
That's
him.
Funny and smart. How you doing, Rupert? Our pumpkin.
Right. We, as a matter of fact...
My name is Eagle, and this is my other friend, Mr. Eagle. And guess what? We don't hunt flies. We eat them.
Yep, even though they taste bad.
When they come our way...
Even though they taste like butt.
When a fly comes our way, we eat them. And once again, thank you so much to the window lickers out there who hang on my every word that when I tell you an experience that happened to me 30 goddamn years ago in an environment that none of you could even comprehend, that's the only thing that you idiots can come up with?
You know the sad thing about this?
Because I got news for you. This eagle does hunt flies. Because it's fun to hunt flies.
You know what the sad thing about this is? There's a chance that we might know before we even get done talking right now that this bet's already been blown.
Oh, God. First name Will, last name Power. Okay, that's it.
Certainly before the end of the show, we might have an answer.
I think so. Okay, so that's it. Sorry I had to break up with you. Sorry it's like that, but, you know. Think of it like it's almost... not a settlement, like in a divorce, but, you know, do something for the kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And not our kids, like Jerry's kids.
Sure.
Or whoever the kids are. Do something for the Red Cross kids.
You know? Go for it, Rupert.
Do something for Katrina. Because I know they give the discipline to. I really don't. You won't be able to control yourself. Because when the monthly ratings come out on Friday, if they're good, you're going to want to poo-poo it. And if they're bad, oh, you're going to want to... Just spread your seed.
And if they're in the middle, you're going to be able to say, oh, it's exactly what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? If we make a certain amount of progress, I thought they would at this point.
But really, if he wants the money for the Red Cross,
he can't.
Wouldn't be able to offer up that in-depth analysis.
Right.
And for the record, as long as we're on the topic of Rupert Pupkin,
yes.
You want to know a guy who knows how to run a site like that. The guy's name is Alan Sniffen. And he runs that New York message board, and he's in some ways more pathetic than you are. I mean, not really, Rupert, because he's got a job. He's a dentist. We fought with that guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with that guy, too. He's an okay guy. You know, on his board, here's how it goes. You register, and he knows who you are. And if you're going to write something that's just nutty, that doesn't have anything to do with anything, it doesn't get on his board. It's not like you, Rupert, where you've got a site where you say anybody can post anything, but as obviously has been proved by our listeners, it's not.
Right.
It's not. So, being as you're not a pro like the other guy, you're just a hack, you're a hack in love with me, mm-hmm. wishing you could be inside my brown underpants, you know, knock it off. See if you can. Do it for Katrina.
Right. For the kids.
Do it for the bayou.
Sure.
Do it for the bayou.
I'd like to write that check.
You won't have to.
I'd like to, though.
You won't have to.
No, I don't think there's a chance, but I'd sure like to.
You won't have to. Not a chance he's going to be able to keep up that grueling schedule. Imagine that. A whole month without writing anything bad about
us. Well, he tried it.
A whole month without it. Yeah, that's right. He tried it
and he couldn't do it.
He tried to ban us.
Right.
At first it was just me. He just banned me.
No mention of you by name.
Yeah.
That's so he could do deleted. And incidentally, that's not allowed either. I'm sitting there qualifying this because I like to.
I think everybody knows what's going on.
Right.
It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun game. And besides, this would be a good way to see exactly how many hits he can take on his site. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know how much broadband he's got. I mean, I don't know how much width he's got. You know, I know that's what he wants to ask me.
You know, yours gets concave.
Pretty big, Dave. Pretty big.
Now you're going to really get him crazy.
Just what you want.
Now you're going to really drive him nuts.
You want my meat. You want my meat. But you can't write about it. Ooh. Hi, Rupert.
Mom!
Okay. That's all. That's good. Now I'm happy.
Right.
That's a good, fun Monday show. My best buddy Mike's not dying.
Right. Thank you.
And Rupert Pumpkin, how you doing? How you doing, Rupert?
How you doing?
You like being in the public eye? And please, everybody out there, are you people who love quoting me? Last thing I'll say, I get off the soapbox. Please don't forget what I said when we returned from vacation on April 3rd, before any ratings came out or anything, that I had a change of heart since Frieda had passed, and the last 9 months had been a fog for me, and that we were coming back strong as a goddamn son of a bitch in 2006, and I stand by that.
You did it.
You know, you might have a perception of me, you out there listening, might think I'm a dick like Rasheed Wallace, you know, predicting, you know, that the Pistons are going to win, and then when they didn't win, saying, well, even the sun shines on a dog's ass sometimes. Well, hey, you know what? Guess who won that series?
Right.
Your Detroit Pistons.
And they won it in fine fashion, too.
They did.
That was a great comeback.
Oh, you're faking. You don't know Jack. You don't know Jack.
You mean about Jack basketball? I hate it when you get all wound up. About basketball.
About
okay,
the,
ass. About basketball.
About that game.
People take that out of context.
No, they
and
won't.
They'll say,
they won't.
You know, that I don't know Jack. I know about a lot of things, no, okay?
That's right.
I know about...
Mike?
I'm all right.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
You don't know. And if you're going to say it that way, say the proper way. You don't know Dick.
Who's Jack's good friend? Jack, one of the off boys.
They're brothers. They live in the same flat.
Okay, time out.
The Jack flat.
Jesus Christ. So we got nothing with a homeless chick. We've not heard from her at all.
Yeah, what is the deal with her?
With that?
We got an APB out on her for that. We'll have to cover that.
No, Rob, I don't think she's lost an eye.
I want to try to get to... You know, if she turns up missing, you know who the main suspect is?
Rob's B-Wag.
You know, as always...
Many people saw me all weekend.
I hope she didn't run into Phil.
Answer the question. Why do you drive around with a bag of lime in your car?
My favorite flavor.
Yeah, like you're some kind of gardener.
Yeah, I love to garden.
Right.
I'm not bringing the lime this time.
All right, so I'll tell you about the weekend, and I guess we'll get to the homeless lady. If she called it, we got to find out from Joshua Tree. I got some emails over the weekend.
Joshua Tree has been patiently waiting all day. He's lingering. He's been floating around.
He's ready to be called as a witness.
He certainly is, and I think he's got a lot to say.
He may get bumped. I mean, oh, sure.
That's a fact.
Oh, no. You are feeling it today, aren't you?
Well,
you're feeling your oats today, aren't you?
We're running a little late today.
Right.
It's a practical matter.
Did you get an email from Jessica over the weekend?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you, Buzz?
I did not.
Ha ha. Mike, you and I share a victory.
No, I was lying again. I didn't get an email. I don't know what this new me is, but I want to lie to you all the time. Rob, you got one?
I got one this afternoon.
Did you really?
Yeah, you get the nude?
No.
Are you telling the truth or not?
No, I swear, I just got it.
You really got one?
Yeah, she's having a ton.
Because that was my joke. I'm checking my email during the commercial break.
So I really got one.
Yeah, no, I called Rob over the weekend and I said...
Wait a minute, you got one and Don got one?
Yeah, when I called him and tell him that I said, you're not going to believe it. I read it to Rob and I said, guess who it's from? Because it's like we're old friends. I mean, it's like, you know, hey, Don, how are you? I'm loving my new job thus far. Any plans for your weekend? I'm going to go fishing with my friends. We're making a day out of it. Sun, boat, beer, when can you go wrong? Anyway, hope all is well. Keep in touch. Huh. I said to Rob, any idea who that would be from? And Rob...
I guess Shrinsky.
He did. I said, no, Jessica Rabbit.
I would have guessed Tim McWilliams.
Now, I got her farewell email. Did you respond to her farewell email?
No.
Because I didn't.
No,
so I thought maybe that was why.
She simply asked for my email address before she left. But that's not the reason you're here. Rob was very upset. You know, Rob has always had the for Jessica Rabbit.
Right.
Exactly. And on Saturday, his comment was, really, his real-life comment, I said, it's funny, I got it from Jessica Rabbit. I didn't think we were close like that. And he said, she didn't send me one.
Yeah.
What a bitch.
Got mine today, though.
What
all
a bunt.
Well.
What a bunt.
No.
And I did receive electronic mail from my brother Jim.
All right.
Good. So we do have an update on
him.
Oh,
my God. How are we going to get to all this stuff?
We're not. We're going to have to get to tomorrow. I mean, after all, we did take an hour today talking about that little health thing you went through, and then we took an hour talking about very important issues on the web.
Unrequited love.
Jimmy's email, did he ask you who Jessica was?
Why you know, only emailing? One thought is coursing through my brain right now.
What's that?
2 hours well spent.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, well, let's get Mike his pill.
I won't brag. We'll come right back.
All right.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
You have no idea what your work means to me.
What does it mean to you?
When somebody out there knows what it's like to be in here.
Oh, God, this is like a nightmare.
Oh, come on. Just a couple of questions. How hard is that? How do you write women so well?
I think of a man. And I take away reason and accountability.
The Don and Mike Show.
Very scary, kids. And I'm not kidding you this time. Oh. The Don and Mike Show.
Kidding you this time, kid. Well, this is,
You okay? Need a driver?
Isn't that a, No, that was something that got in the throat, I think, Buzz.
Okay, good.
Jesus.
That was a,
He took his funny pills today. He really did.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Let's see.
Here we go.
Now,
try to fulfill the contract.
Joshua, Mike, I just had something in my throat.
Don't get sensitive. I'm just kidding you.
I didn't have a panic attack.
I am fine. And thanks for bringing that up. That took him a long time, didn't it?
No, not long at all.
Let's say it's, ladies and gentlemen,
Mike,
5:48 Eastern time. It has been used on the air, my panic attack. There we go.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Recycling.
Yes.
You know what that means?
Right. Yes.
Someone who is,
no, I'm not bright enough to understand.
Someone who has not heard the entire...
Yeah,
you
understand.
You are bright enough.
Yes, I understand.
You are bright enough to know.
I completely understand.
Just going back...
You wouldn't use anything against me on the show when we were in the heat of battle. I've never done it against you.
No, I wouldn't.
Never.
Panic attack.
It doesn't happen. There we go. Twice.
Oh,
twice
on.
Now.
Come on.
All right.
Only because you're not serious.
Having a panic attack?
It's not serious.
It's not serious.
We can... Okay, well, you decide how serious it is.
Jesus.
Anyway, the homeless chick, okay?
Yeah.
She's not here. We can't find her. We've got all of our feelers out, and none of them can feel her. So we need some help on this. If you know where she is, contact Yanni.
Obviously, someone's upset her.
I'm worried about her.
Send us an email anytime at donandmikewebsite.com. Either way, we'll get Joshua Tree in here tomorrow, and we'll figure out what her dealio is.
Very good.
Plus tomorrow, a really great segment where we combine Jew to Jew and Catholic to Catholic.
Yes, wow. I think you're going to like this twist. It's it's very unique. And we worked on trying to find the Catholic voices, and it was too trite to do, you know, Irish brogues,
right.
Really.
Tomorrow. And also, don't forget, I got to remind you, 24 is on tonight, so of course we'll have our exclusive take, our recaps, our reviews.
I was talking outside to the guys outside talking about how we're all going to watch it. I think most of us are going to do that hour thing where you wait an hour and kind of like, you know, race through it without the commercials.
Not me. I watch it real time.
You're going to watch it real time?
On a big one, watch it real time. And tomorrow, either way, we'll have Devane.
Do you think he'll be on tonight?
God, I hope. If I was a betting man.
Rob's shaking his head no.
I would think so.
I would hope so.
I would think
so.
And I'm a Devaniac, I think. Don't do that last week.
Yes.
The weekend.
It'll be a devaned episode.
The weekend. I got to get this in fast because there's at least one thing you're going to find interesting. Not the fact that my girlfriend spent actually two over the, like, let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it'll be two nights out of five. she spent at the house. Mm-hmm. So that was a little, you know, that was fine, but that's a period of adjustment. Right. I'll discuss that with you another time.
Okay.
We're out to dinner Saturday night. And I think I'm going to take her to a nice place. So we went to, here's a shock, to the Palm restaurant.
Hey, you got to go with consistency.
The one in Virginia, not the one downtown.
Right.
So I call at the last minute. You know, is that deal? They don't open till 4
right.
on Saturday. And I call and I speak to David, the guy there, and he's, and you know, I'm just such an uncomfortable clod socially. I said, hey, it's me. I know it's Saturday night and everything, but, you know, I'm going to take my new girlfriend out. And he says, oh, we'd be glad to meet her. So right away, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I've put too much pressure on myself already. So the whole time we're driving over there, I'm saying to her, now, listen, you know, I shouldn't have said it like that. She says, don't worry, everything's going to be fine.
Get the accordion player. Did they go ahead and get the accordion player?
Here's what happened to assuade my whatever fears, insecurity, whatever it was. When we walk in, we are standing in that little lobby area, and there was a group of people standing there as well, and I recognized immediately the celebrity. The celebrity then came up to me and said, hello, Don? Wow. And I said, yes, and put his hand out, and he said, I'm celebrity. And because I'm stupid, I said, I know you are. And
that's not a bad thing to say to a celebrity.
All right. No, there was
did
a moment.
You feel foolish after you said it?
Of course, there was a moment. And as it turns out, how you want to feel old, he was there with his grown-up daughter. And, you know, said, my daughter is a fan of the show. Would you know? So I'm like, yes, hi, how are you?
Is this a local celebrity or a national celebrity?
I think it's a national celebrity.
Yes.
So he's a national celebrity.
Wow, I'm dying.
Okay, I'll give you. You'll get it on the first hint.
Okay, well, give me a subtle hint, and I'm waiting.
Then you said to him that you love his work on Deal or No Deal.
No, it wasn't how he meant, though.
That was Chuck Willery.
Here's the clue, and Mike, I guarantee you, Mike will get this right now. Mike is my man. He will get this. Ross, that's tremendous news.
Senator Fred Thompson. That is exciting news, Ross.
So we're standing.
This is terribly exciting.
Don? Yes.
Was there a charity due at the restaurant?
No, he was there with his family. I guess his kids and his grandkids. And
I would get the impression he is a tremendously impressive figure to me personally.
Well, first off, he's skinnier than I thought. Mm. And
it tall?
Was, you know, yeah. So we stood there for a second. No, hi. They bring us inside the restaurant, and he's sitting a couple of tables away from us. Now, my girlfriend, she can see and hear everything, but from where I'm at...
Did you meet his daughter, Marilyn? It's a local radio joke. That's a local radio joke I had to.
So at one point she says to me, can you hear him? He's over there really pontificating.
And I bet he's got a booming voice.
Now, it's a loud restaurant to begin with on Saturday night. But what he's doing, this is funny. I hope I don't embarrass him. He doesn't remember any of this. I can hear him. She says, listen, he's talking about raising kids. Listen to his speaking voice. And it's something like, the way you raise children in the modern age is that you teach them that there's evil in the world, but there's good people to take the evil in the world. Oh, my God, what's going on here? And at that point, she says, turn and look. So I peek around the corner, and he has his adorable, I guess, grandchild on his lap. And at the Palm, if you order a glass of wine, what they do is they take a bottle of wine, and they put it in one big, gigantic glass.
Very tall. Right.
Well, the kid or somebody...
Also, it was a super big wine glass.
Yeah, had the little arms, like, you know, flailing around like this, and... The thing...
Was the senator enjoying a little of the grape?
I don't know who was at the table.
Okay, all right.
But this thing went teats up, and I mean, it was like a scene from The Godfather. It was red everywhere.
Oh, red wine!
He's got on the tan, summer suit.
Like the old Southern senator's
suit. And 8,000 waiters come running over, and they
this
all go,
is terribly stained, Ross.
You know, they're all trying to sop him up and stuff.
Sure.
And...
I will never come here again. And incidentally, for those of you that, when you're not, please don't send the letters. Yes, the Fred Thompson is the Dr. Phil. Thank you very much.
Same thing. No, hold on. They're very similar. Because here's Dr. Phil.
You know what? This is crap.
Okay, and then
we're going to stop this. We're just going to stop this.
And here's the guy that we're talking about, Fred Thompson.
Robinson's residence.
Jim,
Is this a bad time?
No, no, just dressing.
That's him.
Going to a charity, dude. What's happened?
Rat.
Are you serious? That is one tremendous step, Ross. Really tremendous. But tomorrow's fine. Absolutely. Oh, come ahead. Now, we'll be in Connecticut the whole weekend. This is terribly exciting. I can't tell you how pleased I am that you thought to call me first.
There he is. So
and I can't tell you how pleased I am that I have a good Korean dry cleaner.
Anyway, so, you
that's
know.
That's very cool.
She thought, my girlfriend thought I'm an idiot because, you know, I'm a star effer.
So he came to you, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but Mike, it was so, as we were walking in, it was like really, really, literally 30 seconds.
Right.
While he's waiting for his table, you know. So while we're in there, I'm picking up my cell, and she's like, what are you doing? And it's loud, loud, noisy Saturday night. I'm calling Rob.
Yep.
I got to call Rob. And I got to sound like this. Rob, you're not going to believe. I'm sitting at the table.
Yeah. You're not going to believe who just said hello to me. See if you can guess. Okay, here's your clue. Rolfs. That's outstanding news. That's right.
So I hang up, and then, you know, she's already giving me the hairy eyeball. She said, and you told me not to embarrass you. I said, hold on just a second. My next call is, hello, Bart? And all this while I'm at the table.
Well, it's one of our cult. Is it not one of our cult movies?
Yes.
Would it not be part of the film
Barbarians
festival?
At the Gate, even though the guy's famous for being on Law and Order.
Right, right. Barbarians at the Gate is one of our favorite movies.
So I call Bart up, and I say, Bart, you're not going to believe it. You know, same thing. And then when I dial the phone the third time, she's like, who are you calling next? I'm going to call Amy. She said, oh, don't bother that. She's getting three little kids to bed. What are you going to tell her somebody that you met? She's not even going to. I said, no. So it's like, hello, Amy.
Did she track with it?
Can you hear me? Hello, Fred Thompson. Well, he's on Law and Order. Do you ever watch Law and Order? All right, I'll call you back. Bye. And then she's like, aren't you going to call Mike? I said, Mike is sick. Right. So, and then we went down the list and thought about calling Buzz, but knew that Saturday night,
yeah,
you know, the last place I'm going to catch Buzz is at home.
This is true.
I was in group.
And is there any reason that you're... Hand is over your chest?
No, I'm scratching my nipple.
It was right by your heart there.
I'm sorry about that.
And I think if she will allow it, I'm going to let Adrian on the air here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Only because she had something happen to her. I know that things happen to me where I run into people in stores who piss me off or just people who I don't think live the right way. And, you know, it's kind of like a Larry David thing. It kind of really follows me around. I don't make this crap up.
Mm-hmm.
Well... She was, and I was not with her, but she had a situation. She called me on her cell phone, and she was out on Saturday at this, at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rob,
would
you pick that up and ask her if she'd like to come on the air? You know, because I think I said it one time, I didn't want to put her on the air because I don't want to have like a free relationship. And this is really not a free relationship thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get on and discuss every part of my personal life with this chick with you, but there's... It's just, when I said it's
something
weird,
that happened to her or happened to you?
Happened to her, but it sure does sound like it could happen to me.
Wow. Okay. Maybe it's from hanging out with you.
She told me.
She sounds really happy.
Will you shut up? Hello?
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
Fine.
Hi, Adrian. Nice to meet you.
Oh, hi.
That's my mic's alive, incidentally.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. That's good news.
And I'm very happy to be alive.
Now.
We all are.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I did want you to tell everybody, because it sounds like something that I would come in with on a Monday, and people would say, blow this out of proportion. Can you tell people in 60 seconds what happened to you at Wegmans?
Stalkers?
Yes, this is a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Here's my girlfriend. 60 seconds. Go.
Okay. I was going to Wegmans to pick up the items for that meal that I make you. And I walk into a store, and as I was walking in the parking lot, there were two women coming out with a little boy, and he's about four. And he was grabbing at his pants and walking with his knees locked together, crying that he had to go to the bathroom. And I looked at these women, and I'm thinking, okay, I know where the bathroom is in this store. And I didn't say anything. I just looked at her, and I just went, and then proceeded to go to the store. They came after me, and they said, you have a problem. And I said, well, it's obvious your boy has to go to the bathroom, and it's right inside the door. And they said, what right do you have to judge us as a mother? And I said, I'm not judging you. I just said you're future candidate of Mother of the Year. And I went and did my thing. And I'm in there shopping. I came out 45 minutes later, and they were waiting for me in the parking lot.
In the parking lot. Now,
45 minutes. And they charging at me.
Oh, and we're out of time.
Oh, no, no, no. You got to give her at least a 10-second. They came charging at you.
Now you have to know that, well, she calls me up. She says she's upset because...
Oh, my God, I'd be terrified.
They've blocked her in. They've taken their car, and they've blocked... Okay.
God, I have a question.
Sweetie, I'll give you 30 extra seconds.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Were they clamp it like?
No, they were like grown-up versions of Wednesday from the Addams.
So they're a little
goth. Okay. 30 more seconds. Go ahead. When they were...
I mean, they just really just stood... Like, I mean, they were literally like... inches away from me, they grabbed my cart, and they were pointing at me, and I started warning them, like, you know, I'm going to warn you once, step away. And then they started threatening me, like, I had no idea who they are, and they were making the phone calls, and they were calling the police, and, you know, someone who heard everything came up and gave me their name and number, and they said, you've done nothing wrong here, if anything, they have. And I really couldn't leave because they had me blocked in, so I had to go get security. So it was quite an interesting event.
So, to paraphrase, because that sounds like something that would happen to me.
Yeah.
She's going into the store. She says to the mom that, you know, there's a bathroom right there. The lady says, yeah. And so she goes like, you know, Mother of the Year, walks away. Comes out. People have waited for 45 minutes. And incidentally, the kid had not gone to the bathroom for 45 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, and they had him, because she was upset how I upset her son by saying that.
By saying Mother of the Year?
No one in the car, yeah. I said, you've been waiting here 45 minutes. Your little boy is in the car. You're so concerned about what impression you're trying to make on him. I said, your door is open. He's in the front row seat watching you and his aunt attack me.
Well, anyway, she had to go in the store.
Model.
She had to go in the store and get, like, the Wegmans, the grocery store security guy.
Yeah.
They carry weapons, I understand.
To come out.
But they were big men. Both men that came out were, like, they looked like football players.
Well, they get all the access to those free groceries.
See, it happens to other people, not just to me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Scary, I would think.
I was telling everybody.
You know what that is? That's grocery store rage.
Very, very briefly, I was mentioning that, you know, we spent a couple of nights together over the weekend for the first time. And You got a taste of some of my early Sunday morning charm.
Oh, you're wonderful.
You're such a liar. What I want to know is when that phase is going to wear off, you know, because it's like, because I got up like at 5. Well, Sunday morning, like 5 o'clock, I can't help it. It's like, when I'm awake, I'm awake. I said,
yeah.
Do you want to sleep? She says, no, I'll get up with you. And it's like, I know that's BS. I know that's
crap. So he talked for like an hour.
What?
He's wanting to go back. And finally at 6, he threw up the white flag and just got up and started your day.
Gave up. All right, well, there she is.
Yeah, but you were very kind because you offered to take care of all the boys. And I said, no, I'll take care of them. Yeah, so it was nice.
That's all of the boys that I have living down in my crawl space.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's confirmed, Buzz.
Yeah, I hear.
All right.
The boys.
Okay, all right, goodbye. I'll talk to you tonight.
Okay, bye. Okay.
All right, goodbye.
She sounds very sweet.
She is. Well, you know, spend 48 hours with her.
Well, she sounds, you said she's petite. She sounds petite, and I'm sure that was kind of scary to be confronted by, like, what a horrible image that is. Anyway, so, an older, gone family.
Yeah. Oh, here's the call that I get. I get the call where she goes, I'm inside Wegmans, and something's happened to me just like it happens to you. I know that I said I didn't always believe that when he said that, but there's a lady outside, and it's like, she wants, I just said her kid has to pee in. I said, slow down. You know what? Here's what's important. Did you get the crab meat? Yes! What should I do? I'm afraid!
Jesus.
I'm afraid.
Well, it's the people's fault that reacted that way. That's, I mean, no wonder
spooky.
She was afraid. It's not her fault.
Yeah. Damn things happen to me all the
time. The Goth family, you know?
In a world where only a radio was...
Can't people manage stress?
One man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up.
This area.
Yeah. It was Buzz.
That's it.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
What do you got on your new show? We are your new show tonight, Buzz.
Tonight. I'm Mike. Not that bad. Hi, Don.
I haven't had one all day.
I'm not effed up. Every time I talk to Mike over the weekend, that's what it was. I'd say,
I wasn't that bad.
Oh, I said, it's cool.
I was paranoid because I said something to you and I sounded like I was slurring. And I was a little out of it. I was rambly out of it. I wasn't slurry out of it as much as rambling out of it.
Mm.
Like not making really clear points out of it. Was that the way it was?
That's right.
Just kind of, here I am. This is what I'm doing now. This is how it's going to go. And I think it's going to go this way and that's fine. And then it's going to be, I'm really not under the influence of anything, but I'm having difficulty communicating.
And I just, Mike, you're high. It's okay. No, I'm not. I took one an hour ago.
Yeah.
Just one. You said that to me on Saturday.
I did. The last one I took was last night at 9 o'clock.
From your panic attack.
Man,
just
this,
kicking you.
This has been a struggle.
Buzz?
Let me tell you.
When's the next one?
what do we got tonight?
Tonight, has the U.S. become a suburb of Mexico?
Yes.
And roller coaster falls apart during ride. What could possibly go wrong?
Everything.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That's horrible that I laugh at that. I shouldn't laugh at that. Roller coaster coming apart. I've been on roller coasters. What if it was mine?
Go ahead and laugh.
Jesus, that's funny.
That was very
professional.
Number 15 Arbitron rated the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
All right.
Your favorite asses, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, time for Guy Birdley's news now. Both and I brought to you this news about their music program. Brought to you by Frank's Red Hot. Bringing authentic buffalo flavor to all your favorite barbecue foods. I didn't feel it, dog.
It's just all right for me.
Here he is! I guess he wasn't in Journey at this point, was he?
Not at that.
I like it when Randy Jackson keeps referring to the fact that he was in Journey, and he was in Journey for like one
album, Raised on the Radio.
And it's a funny clip because he's dressed like a pimp from outer space.
He has the word love written on his pants.
In the video. That's
cool.
I saw that. It was just all right for me.
There's Pitchy Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Okay, I don't mean to alarm anybody, but a new report says 1 in every 10 Mexican citizens lives in the United States. Researchers at Stanford University.
Lay that on me again, please.
1 in every 10 Mexican citizens lives in the United States.
One in every 10 citizens of Mexico.
That's right.
That's not a big number, though.
It wouldn't seem so on the surface.
I'm kidding, of course.
Researchers at Stanford say about
there's
10...
There's a lot of them, Mike.
10,000.
They're like the Chinese or the Japanese. Which is the one where they just can't stop effing?
I think China has had
ain't China the
population
one where
China has a reputation for a population problem.
Right. Too many girls, and like if you have a girl, you can't have another baby because
there are all sorts of breeding requirements in China.
Right. Oh, that reminds me. We also never talked about that. That poor horsey with the brokey leg that everybody's so bummed out about.
Barbaro.
You know, just remember what I said.
Yeah.
What you want to do to make that horse happy,
yes,
put him on his back, get some KY, make him happy, and let him. I know that physically it works different with animals than with humans.
Well, it's totally different, and if you put the horse on its back, you're going to have all sorts of winches, not to mention what the mare will have to go through, and the mare is going to be...
When's the first time we've ever thought about what the woman cares about?
You're absolutely right.
So you lower her
as usual.
You just lower her on.
Mexican Americans don't like to just get into gang fights.
All right, this has nothing to do with the horse.
But a lot to do with the story.
Oh, look who's territorial.
No.
Yes.
I just saw the tie-in.
I just remember that we didn't talk. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
A lot of people do. I'm feeling guilty about mentioning China has a breeding problem. I don't think I put that the right way.
And I'm sure
a population problem.
I'm sure I'm in the minority, you know, that I think, you know, okay, it's an animal. He's a great animal, a beautiful animal. It's not like somebody took a shot at the president or something. I mean, it's a horse.
Right.
It's a horse.
Right.
This morning on TV, they're talking about him like he's a person. How do you think he's feeling? I imagine he probably wants to smell another animal's butt or eat some horse feces.
Did you see the update on CNN this afternoon where he says, he's doing well and he's flirting?
Mm. Yes. They say he is, in fact, looking at the female horses.
He's a horse.
Well, in that case, why don't you all just go out and shoot the horse then? Without any treatment whatsoever.
I'll be right back.
You amazingly heartless people.
Bang!
Barbaro, oh, Barbaro. Researchers at Stanford say about 10% of Mexico's population of 107 people, million people now lives in the United States. And that 15% of Mexico's workforce works here. Never in modern history has such a large chunk of one country's population lived in a single other country. One in every seven Mexican workers, one in every seven Mexican workers comes here to make 10 times the money they'd make in Mexico. The money they send home totals more than what the U.S. spends on foreign aid for the entire world. The migration started over 100 years ago when it became clear life is better here and we're conveniently located just north of Mexico.
Hey, Chihuahua.
Experts say it's not likely to stop anytime soon. Their solution, help make Mexico a place where Mexicans want to stay.
Well, you know how you do that.
Wow.
Take all the Mexicans and put them somewhere else.
That's not going to work, Don.
That's
work.
How you make Mexico a,
that's not gonna
a
work.
Hot spot. You take the Mexicans and you ship them off like to Canada.
Do you mean you put Canadians down in Mexico?
No, it's like the Chinese thing. It's like crowded people living together.
Mm-hmm. Canada has room.
Yes, a crowded house. Right. Was that band from Canada?
I don't know.
What you do is you bus all of the Mexicans up to Canada.
Is that another one of those bands that sounded like this? Like Spandau Ballet. True.
Yeah. And what we do then is we annex Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And we make Mexico like South Dallas.
You mean okay. We annex the rest of
South,
Mexico.
South
well, there
Texas.
You go with your whole wacky world domination theory again.
That, and, of course, don't forget the real reason I think that we should get the Mexicans out and take over Mexico. We could have a corner on the cheap fireworks. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I know
and
we've got
donkey shows.
I know we've got some spots here in the States, especially down south. But man, oh man, go to Tijuana sometime if you want to get some bottle rockets. Are you kidding me?
I've heard pretty good fishing too. And while we're throwing around numbers, and I am, one out of every 136 Americans lives behind bars. One out of every 136.
How you doing?
Every week. A lot of them listen to this show, too. Every week in the last year, we've put another 1,000 people in prisons and jails every week.
Johnny Sack, you big pussy.
That's a different character. That's well over.
No.
It's doing a 15-year stretch,
he's
Buzz.
Going
right.
To
no,
jail.
I know. I know.
And that's not what Paulie Walnuts thinks he should do.
And that's right. What none of them think. Yeah. Phil? Phil doesn't want him to do it either.
No.
Phil's mad at everybody. I don't know if you've noticed, but Phil would kill everybody if he could.
Sorehead.
He has except for Vito's wife.
He's going to move in on that. I think it would be best if I pay for the services. Probably not. It's not good for the kids to be around the kind of influence.
A role model
like that.
So, we've collected over 2 million new inmates in the past year. Prison population went up more than 1.5%. Local jails increased their populations by well over 4.5%. Many of those folks just waiting for a bus to the big house.
Let me throw out a theory. This might be off the wall.
All right.
But we've got many, many more people in prisons than there were 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. The jails are just chock full. And we have an energy problem.
Right.
How can we translate these prisoners into energy? They've got stationary bikes, right?
Chain gangs, Mike.
You're onto something. You're definitely onto something.
Burn them for fuel. Rob, we'll pass on that one. Okay.
Rob
thank
wants
you.
To burn them.
Thank you very much.
And it's always Rob's energy.
God, Jesus
no,
Christ.
No, see, I have a much more humane approach.
Uh-huh.
What I would...
You want a chain gang?
No. A modern day, what I would like is giant... Big hamster wheels.
Yeah, okay.
But made
now
like,
you're talking my language.
Made for like 7 or 8 guys
right?
at a time.
They could do it and really do it in kind of a fun way. Because
yeah.
like maybe...
Oh, yeah, they're going to love it.
Yeah.
Well, what if you put them in the wheel, maybe the immediate, you know how a generator always has an indicator of how much power it's getting?
Uh-huh.
Maybe that could be like a giant movie screen where they could throw
run their TV.
For a front
did you really say burn them for fuel?
Yes,
I
yes, he
where
did.
He was going.
Yes. He did.
Burn them for
He's
fuel.
Only
convicted felons burning for fuel.
Almighty. That's fair. It's firm but fair.
Wow.
The states with the biggest chunks of their population behind bars are Louisiana, Georgia, Texas, Mississippi, and Oklahoma.
Hey, those, well, except for Oklahoma, those all seem like southern states, Buzz.
They do indeed, Senator Thompson. Men still get locked up 10 times more often than women, but the women in prison.
Down.
There she is.
Now, why is Florida Evans here?
She's upset. James is locked up.
And burned for fuel.
James Jr.
Excuse me, yeah, right, JJ.
But the women in prison population is growing at a faster rate than the increase for men.
Aged heat.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of lesbian love, which makes me think of women in prison,
right.
If you want to see maybe Letterman at his most awkward, and I don't mean good awkward,
right.
Watch the TiVo of Friday Night's Letterman when he's got Mary Chaney out there.
Ah, yes. I've seen the clip.
Now, you watch this, and you tell me if... Now, I am a huge Letterman fan. I've never gotten a vibe from him that he's homophobic. I don't think that necessarily he is, but he gets her out there, and pretty much it's like he's treating her like she's got leprosy. It's like, so, you are a lesbian. At what age do... you people find, I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
Is that awkward with
I'm paraphrasing, but what he says, at what age is it generally that you people, that you discover, and she gives the pat answer, well, you know, it's different for everybody, I don't want to speak for all homosexuals. Well, when was it for you, 16? And she's, yeah. Then he says, so you have a straight sister, right? And she's trying to make jokes about it, and Letterman's whole thing with her is, so... you are a homosexual. You are a lesbian.
He can sail through those Nathan Lane interviews.
All right.
Right.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I think it might be the politics in some
I've seen other high-profile lesbos on his show, like
right.
Like Ellen DeGeneres.
Right.
And I don't
Diane
know,
Sawyer.
Right.
Well, in your mind.
Anyway,
no.
Watch it. It's highly awkward. I mean, it's not worth playing on the radio, but if you've got it at home on TiVo, watch it, because physically even, he's... man, it's like she's got cooties.
I got the impression he was uncomfortable with her because of the politics, because later in the interview he takes her to task for bringing up these issues about gay rights and stuff now, and challenges her about what the administration's doing.
His March Across interview was fine.
That's where I thought, he's like beating her up. She
right.
answered the question.
Right.
She said, I don't agree with the current White House policy. Mm-hmm. It's in my book.
Right.
And he goes back again. Don't you think you could have done more? Well, I don't know. It's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like... you're a homosexual. You're a lesbian. It's like, she's like, yeah.
So you think the awkwardness was the political element of it, perhaps?
I think it was...
the fact that she's...
I don't watch it yourself. Decide for yourself. It's just a gay thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Interesting. Soon to be joining.
You know what that means?
What?
That's like when someone says that.
I genuinely...
So transparent.
How can I say it in a way?
So transparent.
How can I say it in a way? It is
interesting. Put you in a bad situation.
Yeah, that's a thought provoker.
It is interesting to me.
You say something new. That's funny. Mm-hmm. Listen, if it was funny, you'd laugh. When you say, that's funny, you know what that means?
Uh-huh.
That sucks. That's interesting. Once again, I spend all day riding these cars. You two asses talking about the horse's broken leg.
Is Buzz in my camp on that? I thought he was demonstrating the proper amount of insensitivity about Barbaro.
Buzz?
Yes?
What is next?
Soon to be joining the prison population, Congressman William Jefferson of Louisiana. We'll have his story when we come back.
Right.
And I thought Letterman's greatest interview was with a lesbian.
Chris Elliott.
It's interesting. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. Hey, come on now.
You had a
panic
attack.
They're making out of man. No,
you had a panic attack.
Shut up.
Okay, shut up, you.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Yeah. Totally. Everybody is talking about this show.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show. More than 6, but less than 12. The Don and Mike Show.
You see this segment of buzz brought to you by the Visa Business Card. Business takes efficiency, whether you pay by debit or credit. Visa Business helps you get things done. Your life is your business. Life takes Visa. Real quick from Don and Mike, website.com. Let me see. Oh, we're getting so many emails about Rupert Pupka.
I'll bet.
We will deal with this tomorrow. Also, people are wondering about our next Weird Number 15 party.
Yes.
We won't be number 15 again. Come Friday is the latest ratings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're having our next We Are Whatever number party a week from Wednesday, the 31st of May.
Very good.
Of May at Mike's Joint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Cool.
Thanks. Look Around Cafe.
And the other thing, so many questions, so many people emailing since I put Adrian on the air.
Mm-hmm.
There are questions that I won't answer. But there are some, for instance, I will say that people have been writing in the last couple of minutes, talking to Johnny back there.
All right.
How old is she? She's 42. She's never been married. She owns her own home. She's a professional woman. And none of you know how I met her. I mean, none of you listening.
Fair enough.
So that should answer any... Anybody that any question, people are writing in. How she's how old is she? Is she is she a widow? No. But that's all you need to know.
Right.
Okay. So just talk among yourselves.
Fair enough.
And hi, Rupert.
Hi.
And here is Buzz. Hi, hi, Buzz. And hi to everybody at the Red Cross.
Yeah.
Yes.
They got $1,000.
Sounds like it might be happening.
Got $1,000 from me today, and maybe we'll see if Rupert Pupkin can keep it in his pants for a month.
Uh-huh.
Maybe four more grand going.
Wow.
Red Cross.
That's timely.
I'll be glad to write that check.
Good.
You won't have to. And now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Soon to be joining the prison population, one of the men who made the laws, Congressman William Jefferson of Louisiana. He was caught on tape by the FBI accepting $100,000 in bribe money and then allegedly storing it in his freezer.
You said William Jefferson?
That's right.
Not yet.
Only without the Clinton part.
I'm sorry. I just heard the first two names. How are you, dear?
How are you?
Hi, Bill. Congressman Jefferson thought he was helping a communications company get a contract in Africa for the money. During the negotiations, in a note he wrote, these damn notes were writing to each other, as if the FBI is watching. When the undercover agent asked Jefferson about his future plans, he said, I'm going to get your deal out of the way, and I probably won't last long after that.
You know, Rob says,
what?
Burn the money for fuel.
Well, Jefferson may be right about not lasting long, but he says he will not resign.
In his freezer.
Yeah.
Like $100,000 in
sure.
his freezer.
Best place to keep money.
Okay, who wants Ben and Jerry's Haagen-Dazs? How about $10,000?
Whoa. We were all a bit shaken last
money
week.
Money Garcia.
A bit shaken by some feedback last week on how the rest of the world looks at the American people. Well, we're still nicer than the French, the way the Britons see it.
You're goddamn right, Buzz.
A new survey there shows that 46% of the Brits who've traveled to other countries believe the French to be the rudest, most boring people on the planet.
Bro, where's the lube?
I dropped my effing gloves. What's your name? Oh, bonsoir. I'm staying at the Marriott. You can reach me there later. Come. We're thousands of miles from New Jersey. Why you gotta bring it up now?
I'm sorry. Tony, it's beautiful. Where's my handsome man?
The Germans ranked second in rudeness,
followed by
Spain. But France was the rudest, and according to an editorial in London's Daily Telegraph newspaper, the French also stink.
How about when Tony was saying to Carm, all this stupid stuff like, how's the toast?
Yeah, right.
How's the fries?
Yeah.
How the fries? Yeah, you deserve it. You deserve a vacation.
My handsome man. Tony, it's so beautiful. They're giving me all these close-ups. Me looking at statues.
When we come back, that terrifying roller coaster story and more.
Oh, Buzz loves the terrifying roller coaster story.
Here's my handsome roller coaster.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Before Merv Griffin speaks, I'm afraid that I officially have to say Lisa the homeless chick is a bunt.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Wow. Combination of bitch and C word.
I was right.
Coined today on the show.
That should be that.
Smelly bunt.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating.
Buzz was right.
And entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
All that we did for her.
Pigs love mud. And you love Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Not even
all
a thing.
All of a sudden, his teeth's up.
Mm-hmm.
What can I say?
Yeah.
You're right, Buzz.
Thank you.
What a bunt.
Mm-hmm. You like that word, don't you?
I love it.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm surprised nobody came up with it before.
Yeah.
Bunt. Combination, bitch.
And they have the other word.
Hey, you bunt.
Well, kitsch has been used.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hi,
Don and Mike. Happened about 4:30.
I've never heard kitsch.
Kitsch is...
Hey, you kitsch. You
wait, Rob, help me out here.
It's like if something...
It's kitschy. Yeah. You know, it's a word. Like,
how you doing? Welcome to the alternative side of the fish, 92.3. This is
Kitch Bunt. I'm beside two of the Allman Brothers live.
You're listening to the Kitch Bunt Show. We better be careful with that one.
Yeah.
It happened about 4:30 on a good-looking Sunday afternoon just outside of Minneapolis. So people had flocked to the Valley Fair Amusement Park, some of them to ride the roller coaster known as the Wild Thing.
Yeah.
It was the ride of their lives for the folks in the last car, which came disconnected from the rest of the cars on a ride that reaches up to 74 miles an hour. And passengers were dumped out of the station. People were screaming, crying, and jumping out of the way. 18 people got hurt. Quoting a hospital spokesman, they're all doing really, really well.
Isn't that good?
And finally, when 44-year-old Dexter McWhite of Orlando, Florida, got out of jail, all he wanted to do was take his grandkids to McDonald's. But you know how it is when you just get out of the joint. Yeah, you have no money, so you start drinking. Next thing Dexter McWhite knew, he was waking up naked and unconscious in the woods after having robbed 7 stores in 17 hours.
Any pool cues around?
No, but he did finally make it to McDonald's, but without the grandkids. That was robbery number 6 that day. His lawyer says, he ain't right. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No!
His lawyer used a bad word then.
Yes.
I mean, Buzz just said is it instead of ain't.
Yeah, Kitch.
Bunt.
That's it. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow.
I want to say thank you to everybody here around the station that was so nice
good
and concerned. I appreciate it. I am fine, and I will continue to be fine.
Good. Be okay? Megan at home tonight? Do you need us to follow you?
Actually, Joe's going to be driving me.
We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
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 Bye, PA.
Thanks. Don't need to explain that one.
And what are you going to be burning for fuel tonight?
A bunt cake.
And as
we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Nazi sympathizer. I got it.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.